Pittance Podcast is brought to you this week and every week by the Brainstorm Brewery. Hello and welcome to the Pittance Podcast, episode number 92. I am the host of this shit show. My name is Angelo, and I'm back this week with Will and Ryan.
What up, motherfuckers?
Both of you are under the weather, I understand. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's to be expected. I've been taking care of the sick girlfriend for 3 weeks. Just got some sinus shit.
Yeah. both of my major coworkers, the guys I work with every day, come down with mono in the last week.
Oh, yeah.
Were they making out with each other?
I mean, you don't even have to ask. You just have to imagine it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, they do things that your average person would kind of find a little disgusting. At least I know I do. Like, they'll, like, share cigarettes and, like, share food. But when you're working in the elements, you know someone's going to get sick from time to time. And, like, the one was kind of sick already, and you could tell he was coming down with something due to the blood coming out from his throat, and they were cigarettes.
But at the same time, I would caution the guy not to be even at work if he is that ill.
Well, yeah, I bitched at him. I told him to go home. I know came back, and he was still a little fucked up, and they was like, my boss was like, okay, you two go here. I was like, I'll drive my car. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, I ain't gonna sit in a damn truck with him. He coughs on me, I'm down for a week. Fuck you.
But yeah, like, I mean, it sucks taking days off work because you're sick. Like, it, you know, it sucks because you lose money. It's not like school when you get miss it and it's sweet. But ultimately, I feel like if you don't do it, you just lose more days in the long run.
Right. So, let's dive into the magic. I hope you guys feel better. GP LA.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
A little different than what we saw at the Pro Tour. A local boy ended up taking this down, actually.
Yeah.
The top eight bracket broke down as such. Ryoichi Tamada, who just went insane this weekend. I believe he went undefeated during the Swiss rounds because he got so far ahead with everybody he couldn't draw in.
I have to play. I can't draw.
Yeah, I will say that if he did lose, it was in the last round, and I missed that specific round, the last round of the Swiss, because it's the last round of the Swiss. You know who's in there, right? But he was at least at one point like 14-0 or something like that, and then all he had to do was run through the top eight. But he played against Denis Ulanov, and Denis Ulanov ends Tamada's run 2-0. Eric P.A. versus Isaac Sears, and Eric P.A. wins 2-0. Brad Nelson versus Carlo Falsis. Falsis wins 2-1. Daniel Schneid versus Christopher Goldsmith, and Schneid. There's no N in there.
No, it's Sheed.
Sheed, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Daniel Sheed wins 2-0. Daniel Sheed.
Schneid's cool, though.
Yeah, it is.
That's a sweet name.
But there's no N in there, so. So, Daniel Sheed, I pronounced it wrong again, didn't I?
No, Sheed. Probably.
Beats Carlo Falsis, 2-0. Eric P.A. loses to Denis Ulanov, 2-0. Denis Ulanov loses this to Sheed, 2-1. Sheed is your local boy. It was a lot more flair than what we saw at the Pro Tour. I know I was very pleased with a lot of these decks. Sheed won the thing, so let's just start with his green-red monsters list.
I do want to say Sheed had me laughing when he said his previous accomplishments were like second places at F&Ms.
Yeah.
And he takes down a GP, and the guy's never even won an F&M.
Sometimes you get the run goods.
Yeah.
Really. And sweet list, so old school.
Absolutely.
It looks pretty similar to the stuff from the first week at Indy, I thought. Pretty close.
Zenigos
is back.
Yeah, that's one of the things. He's back. Radiclaw Mystic fit into the list. Ashcloud Phoenix as a one of.
Yeah, that's pretty spicy.
Three Craters Claws fits into the list, and then you take out what's corresponding from the old.
He also has the four lightning strikes, which not a lot of the other green decks run. I think that's notable.
Yeah, well, the green-red monsters is not like a green-red devotion. It is a completely different.
Well, I mean, it's not completely different. It's like six cards.
He's still trying to go really big, though. He doesn't have, like, the green-red monsters usually has Goblin Rabble Master. This doesn't.
Yeah.
He is still trying to go big. The Hornet Queen. Yeah, lightning strike is Genesis key, especially Hydra, with Fleece Veins, Rakshasas.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not to mention all of the threats in the Jeskai deck, die to a lightning strike, you know, I mean, it's definitely premier removal in the format right now.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, but the deck, I mean, I know there's only probably 10 cards different, if that. Well, yeah, there's at least 10, but it does play differently, you know, because of cards like Lightning Strike.
And well, yeah,
these are different decks.
It's a couple turns faster. It seeks to be a lot more proactive. You know?
Right. Sideboard. Interesting enough, I like the 3 Destructive Revelry in there. We haven't seen that in very many sideboards recently.
Yeah, that's definitely an FNM kind of card.
Yeah, really. Like that's a hell of a draft card.
Yeah, it's the destroy part that keeps people from playing it. Exile is just where you kind of have to.
The only way he has to deal with that is what's the green one that shuffles it back into the library, right?
Yeah, I think he's just trying to pop off, coursers, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a fine answer for opposing coursers.
It actually is a great answer because you kill the courser and they take 2 damage. So that life gain they got, it actually negates it quite often.
Yeah, yeah, and you get through with the dude.
Yeah, exactly. I think that he cares a lot more about the 2 damage than a lot of green decks would.
Right, right. So in this world of 3-color magic, mono red makes it to second place.
Yeah.
Nice list, but I don't know what, like they kept saying, like, what clan does Foundry Sea Denizen fit in? And it's like, it doesn't.
Boros.
He's clearly kinda Boros. Like, yeah.
He's obviously Boros.
Yeah,
either that or he's like a lone wolf.
Clan. Oh, right. Yeah, clan. Well, then I guess this is just a Mardu deck that has not yet made it down from the tops of the mountains to the salt flats yet.
It's something different. It's not what we've seen in the, you know, the Pro Tour, or even in the SCGs recently. It's 4 Fire Drinker Seder, 4 Foundry Streets, 4 Monastery Swift Spear. I love that. I can't say enough how much I love that. 4 Crone Crusaders, 3 Goblin, or Frenzied Goblin, 4 Goblin Rabble Master, instance he's carrying 12 of those with 4 Titan Strength, 2 Coordinated Assault, 2 Lightning Strike, and 4 Stoke, because nothing goes better with a Rabble Master than a Stoke.
Yeah, Stoke's pretty good.
Yeah, 8 Enchantments, that's 4 Dragon Mantle and 4 Hammer Hand with 17 lands. Yes, 17 lands.
This is really similar to like the boss version from the summer, you know, all the 1 drops that like the Channel Fireball guys played at the M15 Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Which I believe there is one here in another one here in the top 8, more like a boss sly version, I don't think, with the Rattle Masters. But yeah, this deck was all over the place when I was at the Open in Indy. I just didn't get it done, I guess, but.
Well, the field in Indy was primarily green, pretty green, right?
Like, yeah.
I think there's a lot more Jeskai in the format at this point in time, which could, you know, give this guy, like a really good matchup, I think.
List is, pretty sweet.
The Harness by Force in the, sideboard.
Sideboard is really good. Really good.
Really nice.
He's got the Eidolon of the Rebel to, interact with the combo deck.
Yeah, he actually won one of his, finals matchups. You know, in the finals, the game he won was actually off of a, I'm gonna take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always run 2, harness, 2 of these effects, whether it be Act of Treason now, as of late, has been harnessed by Force in these red decks.
Yeah, strange enough, and, you know, you guys can call me crazy all you want, but the Searing Sands, I mean, 1 damage to everything. Scouring Sands, I'm sorry.
No.
That's a little techy.
Yeah, it's for the opposing Rabble Masters, you know, and then the token decks, like, there's actually a lot of guys playing the, what's the make 3 goblin tokens, whatever.
Ordling Outburst,
Yeah, thank you, so.
Yeah, that card's everywhere. Scouring Sands is just, it's really good in the mirror and it kills, I mean, if you're playing against this deck, like, it's very good to bring in, so.
Oh yeah, against this specific build, it is insane, like, you just on the draw, you know, if you win game 1 and you board into your Scouring Sands, like, slow roll your dudes, you know, get a 3-for-1 out of it, and then, you know, you're good to go.
Yeah, and Ulanov is a very good player. He's top 8ed and top 16 some events this last year, so, yeah, he seemed really comfortable with this deck. It was, you know, for as being as straightforward as a deck you can get, he was a lot of fun to watch.
I'm so sick and tired of this idea that red is a straightforward deck.
Yeah, that's what people think.
It's not. No, it's very difficult.
There's a lot of decisions, and watching him and some of the lines that he took was awesome, man. He was a lot of fun to watch playing this deck, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Hating, like, go back and watch his plays. Like, there's a lot of things that were, to me, weren't obvious. Like there were things like I would have done differently or whatever. Yeah. And
generally, yeah. Generally they're not. If you're gonna get really, really deep with mono, you know, with any kind of super aggressive strategy, you're generally finding plays that other ones aren't. You know, it's just,
he made attacks that even Cedric was super like, concerned, what?
You know, like. So,
yeah, yeah, even the announcers were kind of like, what's going on here? Like some of his attacks, but.
Well, got- I mean, but at the same time though, like when you have coordinated assaults and a plethora of other instances and, in, you know, other ways to interact in the middle of the combat phase, I can understand any kind of attack. You know?
Yeah, this deck is sweet bluff with too. It's very sweet to bluff with. He got away with bluffing a ton because you just leave up one mountain and they just assume you have the Titan strength. They never want to block. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And speaking of different red decks, Eric PA, he was on a different red deck. And now, mind you, again, this is only a few cards different, but it plays differently because of a couple cards that are in here.
He doesn't have the Goblin Rabble Masters.
Yeah, no Rabble Masters. He went with two Hordling Outbursts, and he has a Hall of Triumph in here. That makes the play a lot different.
Yeah, this is Boss Sly.
Yeah.
This is the Boss Sly deck.
18 Mountains, Arena Athlete, Frenzy Goblin, Monastery Swift Spear. I mean, the one drops are all the same, but the changes goes with the numbers on Frenzy Goblin, and he has an Arena Athlete in here. Sideboard, quite different. Two Lightning Strikes, two Peak Eruptions, a Goblin Rabble Master, three Searing Blood, four Eidolons, because, you know, like Will said, it's great against the combo deck. Magma Spray, Searing, Scouring Sands, a one of. So, I mean, that deck is a little different.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I mean, aggro is really, this, we're talking LA, this, you know what I mean, like, beat down Benny's territory and shit. This is kind of like, the Scouring Sands, this kind of tech, it's not really surprising to me, given LA.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not surprised at all that these aggro decks top aided just because it's LA. That's what always top aids in LA.
Well, yeah, there is regional differences between players. Carlo Falsis, he was rocking him some, well, I mean, it's junk in my eyes, but I know you guys are going to say it's something else.
Junk is so derogatory, man.
No, it's not. Junk is great. Go ask your old lady what she thinks of junk.
She likes it.
Well, there you go. And, you know, I don't know, this isn't Ari's list, because Ari didn't run a Johnny Mentor of Heroes, did he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he
did? Okay, so
yeah, I don't think the numbers are the same. I'm pretty sure Ari had Nissa in his sideboard.
Ran two Nissa in the board, and his Planeswalker package was two Sorin, two Ajani, and three Elspeth. So this Planeswalker package is a bit different.
For the most part, this is the Abzan mid-range or jungle.
Yeah,
mid-range.
This is more... I guess this is running the Fleece Mane Lions, is trying to get, you know, a little more aggressive, I suppose, but.
Mm-hmm. So we went over this ad nauseum last week. Tomata Ryochi, he came in with the Abzan, aggro strategy with the Rakshasa Death Dealers and the Sorins. He cruised through the Swiss, as I said earlier, but, you know, fell short.
Yeah, I forget the name of the pilot at the Pro Tour, but he also had a really great record through the
Mike
Swiss.
Mike Segrist. Well, this is the exact list Mike Segrist ran with the two Heir of the Wild. Yeah, this is the same. In fact, this is the same exact 75 from Mike Segrist. So he just ported this directly over from the Pro Tour. Yeah, the Wingmate Rocks, the Ajani's in the board for the mirror matchup, couple Nissas.
Yeah, it's definitely a Swiss Destroyer.
Oh, no, he doesn't have Ajani in the mirror. I'm sorry. The Nissa's in the board. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and now we're going to move to the deck that had me all pumped all weekend. Brad Nelson.
Yeah.
Very similar to his deck last week, right? Just a little different.
Little different. He's running Mardu, and he got there this time. And his list broke down as such. Three Sorin, Solemn Visitor, one Sarkon, the Dragon Speaker, three Chain to the Rock. Very important. Very important. Good card. Four Seeker of the Way, four Goblin Rabble Master, four Butcher, three Wingmake Rocks. Seems good. Four Hordling Outburst, which I guess...
Really, really good with the Butcher.
Well, yeah, with the Butcher, with Sorin even.
Yeah, Sorin pushes this deck way over the top from his last week. I think the extra greed is totally worth it.
Right. Four Lightning Strike, four Crackling Doom, and one Murderous Cut. He's running a lot of basics because he is running his,
Chain to the Rocks. Yeah,
because they're running the Chain to the Rocks and he's throwing in his fetch lands, which, you know, cool.
Yeah, he has 10 basic mountains in the main deck between the Bloodstained Mires and the six mountains.
Right. Question. What do you guys think of this list? Like a Mardu, like this kind of strategy, not running either Thoughtseize or Heroes Downfall?
I think it's probably, I don't mind it because the hero's downfall because of the double black, I fully understand. And as far as the, what was the other card?
Thoughtseize.
Thoughtseize, this deck is not about losing life, it's about taking life.
Yeah. I think that the only thing he really misses from the Thoughtseize is the ability to see their hand.
Yeah, I just worry about this deck facing off against a Stormbreath Dragon, like, or even another Sark.
Well, Stormbreath Dragon is Crackling Doom.
Yep, or right? Dies to Murder's Cut.
And
yeah, that's
the, so, and I think his plan against opposing Planeswalkers is that he has a lot of ways to just pressure them with damage. He can remove any potential blockers they have and get them off the board in one turn anyway. So there's no reason to really strain your mana because Chain to the Rocks, in a lot of situations, it's just much sweeter than Hero's Downfall. It's just
right.
One mana, like, got you. Like, don't care what the fuck it is. Like, oh, you already monstrous your Fleece Mane Lion? Like, got it. One mana. Just done. Taken care of.
Oh, you Fleece Mane's Hexproof, though, if you monster.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Sorry.
Plus, you gotta keep in mind that with the dragon, Sarkon can kill it as well.
Yeah, yeah. If he's still around, if he's plus one, he should be able to,
Well, you can still neg it and deal four or to it and, kill the dragon.
Yeah, I mean, if, like, even if you Sarkon before the dragon and plus one, he'll still be around
right
the next turn.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that,
I guess you won't have enough loyalty to activate, but.
Yeah, I mean, that can play as removal in this deck very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but I thought this deck was really cool just because it was something that didn't perform as well as it should. Like, I don't even think he made, did he make day two at the Pro Tour? I don't think
he
did.
Yeah, he made day two.
Okay, well then he quit really early because he ended up playing Hawaii States.
I thought Brad Nelson finished top 25, I thought, at this past Pro Tour.
I could have swore about going to States.
He had a pretty reasonable time.
I thought he did pretty good.
All right. Well, his sideboard is as such: 2 Magma Spray, 2 End Hostilities, 2 Anger of the Gods, 3 Elspeth, 2 Read the Bones, 2 Glare Heresy, and 2 Banishing Light. Like, he can kind of change the way his deck plays.
Yeah, it's Mac. It's mid-range aggro control, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and this deck really can play any role to a certain amount of success. You know, he can really just get at you, or he can board in his Elspeths and just sit back.
Yeah, I'm going to board in my Elspeths, and Elspeth's I'm going to board in my End Hostilities, and I'm just going to be the control deck this game if I have to.
And even that he has answers to the opposing white decks when going long in the Glare Heresies, Banishing Lights, you know. Just, he's going to be able to control what's in exile better. So.
Right.
It's cool. It's a nice list.
It is. Isaac Sears, he came with the junk list with Anathems of the Foremost.
Yeah, this is another.
Yeah, pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
And this is the one that Seagrass Strand. This is the one, with the Ulcerae and 4 Herald of Torments. Yeah. This is Seagrass's list from the PT.
Okay. And then our last deck, Christopher, it was actually different numbers than the last list you said was the exact.
Yeah,
my bad. I was wrong.
They both have the same cards.
Same plan. I mean,
I like the plan. The aggressive junk deck is just.
Yeah, I like Herald of Torment a bunch, actually. Really.
And if junk wasn't enough, Christopher Goldsmith brought, hit the normal junk mid-range with the, that tops off with the 2 Wingmate Rocks and Elspeths. And every other card you would expect.
Notably, both of the mid-range Obzon decks had 4 of the charms. So, just like the ability to use it to draw cards is just very, very awesome. And, it's going to happen at least once in a game.
Pretty good.
Valid point, Ryan. You said there were some top 16 cards that you want, decks you wanted to go over?
Yeah, Brian Kibler showed up with something pretty sweet.
He did.
Yeah, he went undefeated day one and thought it was a pretty interesting deck. He top 16 and, lost his winning in the top 8. So teamer aggro, not where I thought teamer was gonna be going.
Oh no, that's definitely where it wants to be.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on the tempo control, but that's what he does after board, so it's real interesting. He's got 1 Sarkon, that's found that number weird. 3 Ashcloud Phoenix, 4 Mystics, 4 Rattleclaw Mystics, 4 Savage Knuckleblade, 4 Heir of the Wilds, 4 Boon Satyrs. Say it, Angelo.
Boon Satyr!
There we go. 3 Pelucranos.
Yeah.
3 Lightning Strike and 3 Teemer Charm and 4 Crater's Claws.
Yeah, I think the Savage Knuckleblade was his whole reason to want to go this way. The card is good.
The Four Craters clause is really sweet in the list too.
Yeah, this,
like, he's totally committing to be, you know, to being willing to shock with it.
Yeah, Craters clause impressed me this weekend. Daniel Sheed that took it down one game in the finals. I think he smacked his opponent for like 10 with it or something.
Yeah, it's
pretty damn good.
Good. I remember the days Phoenix of Urza's Rage kick for 10. That's a pretty fun day.
Yeah, for sure. What do you guys think of Phoenix over Stormbreath Dragon, man?
I like it. I think that the tempo advantage is really good. Plus, it's a recursive threat. Yeah. Like, the monstrous ability is nice and hasty, all that is sweet, but, you know, I like a tighter package, smaller body, and, you know, the ability to recur is really nice.
Well, he said he's trying to do, this is more of an aggro build, and I actually think that Phoenix is better in an aggro build because of that 2 damage every time you flip it or you bring it back, you know, the recursive
he comes
side
online
of it. Yeah.
To attack a turn before as well. You know?
Yeah, that's So his sideboard, a second Sargon, this is where it gets interesting. 3 Stubborn Denials, 2 Storm Breaths, 2 Disdainful Strokes, 2 Surak Dragon Claws, the 6/6 flash can't
awesome.
Be countered.
That's
for 5.
Fine. Yeah, I can't believe he costs 5. I just assumed he costed 6.
Yeah, he's very
so
good.
Good.
2 Magma Spray and 3. This, I thought this was real interesting, especially over like Setessan Tactics. 3 Hunt the Hunter.
No, Hunt the Hunter is great. That's like the best way to kill coursers ever. Or like, yeah, I mean, it's just 4 value every time. Like, it's just like bear punching, you know?
Yeah, I just, man, I don't know. You usually see Setessan Tactics, but yeah, he came with Hunt the Hunter and it worked. Like you just said, it definitely pops off coursers. Kalukronos was everywhere this weekend.
Yeah. Kibler is a man who has loved to attack forever. He really likes the red zone. So any way that he can be more aggressive, I think he's going to try and do. And
the sideboard trips me up with the Stubborn Denial.
Stubborn Denial is insane. The card is extremely good. Well, this is a pretty, I would consider this a tempo deck because he's able to, you know, get down underneath them. And then especially after sideboarding, he's able to just stop them stop them from getting a threat or two. And that's just enough for his early game to get there.
Yeah, I think it's an aggro deck to start with, but it can definitely turn into tempo in a hurry.
Yeah. Stubborn Denial definitely got me a couple times.
You know, he has the counter spells in the main as well, with the 3 mana leaks in the main. I mean, charms.
Yeah. Well, those also act as a very, very, very good falter.
Yeah, and an extremely sweet Dark Vanishing or Terror effect. When you have Savage Knuckleblade, end of turn, +1/+1 fight is just going to kill most monsters and allow you to attack through.
Yeah, especially when you can give the Knuckleblade +2/+2.
Yeah, right.
That works together.
Well, you're killing everything.
Pretty much. So top 5 cards, you know, as Wizard says it is. And it's mainly because, you know, what showed up and what they wasn't expecting. Hordling Outburst had a big weekend with Valentin Mackle, Patrick Dickman, and Brad Nelson all playing it to pretty good finishes. Savage Knuckleblade, as Ryan just mentioned, Crater's Claw, because it's a damn burn cycle with +2.
I cannot believe how many people have caught on to it. It's extreme power.
In any deck with Nykthos, even a 1 of Nykthos wants Crater's Claws.
Right. Yeah, you can do some
damage. I mean, even decks without Nykthos, it turns out, want a bunch of Crater's Claws.
Yeah. Monetary Swift Spear, because, I mean, if you're going to be slinging spells, there's probably no creature better in Standard if you plan on slinging a lot of normal like spells. Yeah. Prowess wise, this thing's insane. 1/2 haste. You know, you can follow it up with a bunch of, you can play this thing on turn 3 and follow it up with like a bunch of shock type effects and just deal massive damage the turn it comes.
Yeah. I mean, one of the really classic lines of red deck wins is play a dude and burn every blocker you have until my first dude kills you. And when your first dude is benefiting from every burn spell, it becomes that much easier.
Right. It's like, yeah, I just killed 3 of your creatures and I'm going to play, I played this creature, I killed 3 of yours and now I'm hitting you for 5.
Yeah. Value.
Go be the dick.
He's the little red Tarmogoyf.
Little red Tarmo. And number 1, it didn't show up as much at the Pro Tour, but Courser of Crucifix was back in a big way this weekend.
Yep. Go figure.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, we said a while ago that the way you start these Abzan decks is you just go Caryatid, Courser, and that's your starting point. But
I mean, if I was going to build it, I'd take the aggro path. I really like the 2 drops they have access to. Like, all up to 12 of them that they have available are just sweet.
I'm going that way with the list. I'm adding Anafenza and Rakshasas and cutting. I'm actually, to be honest, I'm cutting the Coursers and Caryatids so we can also have another deck in the house with, like, green-red monsters. And
well,
green
I think that they are 2 different styles as well. You don't want to be ramping mana and smoothing your land draws out and trying to apply pressure at the same time.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. I know, I like the Rock Sauce of Death Dealer, like that makes me lean towards that.
Sweet.
I mean,
it reminds me of Nantuko Shade.
It does.
Except it's just better because it regenerates too.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's insane. Just such a good two drop. I mean, like, I don't know, if Fleece Mane Lion leaves, like, who cares? I still have Roxasa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So good.
I didn't, you know, I don't like the Lion. I'm not a fan of the white stuff, but the green black, cause I can definitely jam that.
Feel you on that. So we're gonna switch things up a little bit here. We're gonna go to SCG and we're gonna go to the Legacy event to start.
Good job.
And there's a reason for this and it'll make sense in a couple minutes. So we have, Ben Glancy versus, Christopher Stitson, and Ben Glancy wins 2-0. And then we have, Stephen Hicks versus, well, this was in Worcester. So, you know, Alex Bertoncini showed up and you know, he top eighted because it's an SCG, seems to top eight all these SCGs up there. But he went 2-0. Noah Walker versus, Joan Mateo. And Joan Mateo wins 2-0. Nicholas Maltesta, 2-1 over Jonathan Morawski. I think I pronounced that right. If not, oh well.
Morawski,
yeah. Mateo loses to Maltesta, 2-1. Bertoncini goes down in the semis to Ben Glancy. And Ben Glancy takes the whole damn thing.
He got all the Worcester.
All the Worcester.
Worcester!
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, I hate to pick on her accent because apparently Pittsburgh won the ugliest accent in the country, but hey, we won something, so go fuck you. That's it.
City of Champions.
Glancy was on Esper Deathblade, which I don't believe the new set has really added anything to this.
Are they running Treasure Cruise? I bet they're running Treasure Cruise.
An Esper Deathblade, it doesn't.
It's Ancestral Cruise.
Three
Treasure Cruise.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's warped the format. I think it might be okay in Legacy, but I really think this is a card to ban in Modern. I do.
Okay. Well, I know, like,
Yeah, Ancestral Cruise is ridiculous.
it's a reasonable power level for Legacy, though. Like, all things considered, the things you're allowed to do in Legacy, as long as you're not ancestraling in the first two turns, it's not gonna get too crazy out of hand, so.
Yeah, that's when, Ancestral Recall was at its best. Yeah. Turn one, turn two, I want three more cards. Turn one, you end up throwing cards away a lot of times.
It's like, end of your turn one.
Yeah, end of your turn one, I'm taking three cards.
It's cool, I mean, I'm gonna have to use my Force of Will anyway, so I'm gonna be down to four cards, so might as well draw them now.
Yeah. and that is the big difference. I know, like, everyone likes to call this Ancestral Cruise, but if you ever played with Ancestral Recall, it's an instant, I believe.
It is an instant. You are entirely correct.
There is
correct.
A huge
plus
difference
in target your source. Opponent with it.
Right. Oh, yeah. I just
so
call
it can
it
be misdirected.
I like Party Boat, too. Party Boat's another one.
Party Boat's a better name for it.
I like Party Boat, because it is
Party
a
Boat's, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, drawing three cards for one mana is what this does, but it's not doing, I mean, unless you're in a broken combo deck shell.
Read the flavor text. This stuff is a party on that boat.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, hell yeah. Riverboat gambling up at this bitch.
It's got a seriously one-up sideboard. Like every.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's awesome. It's two Meddling Mages, two Zealous Persecutions, and 11 Singletons.
Yeah, I know, like, this, like you were saying about the Treasure Cruise, Will, I know this weekend I'm going to the Eternal, and I'm getting handed a deck, it's gonna be Death and Taxes, and like the first change I made was like, I need more spirits. Spirit of the Labyrinth. Which
I think I'd fight it with Teague, with Gaddock Teague.
Oh, I'm up. There's no green in it.
Oh.
There's no green in his 75, so I'm like, okay, at it with Spirit of the Labyrinth or whatever that card is called.
But is that the list
I would
that
like to switch
Facebook
it up to Maverick.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about the Brimaz in the Legacy list, but.
I told him take that out to add the extra spirit. I'd rather have the 3-1 that does what it
Brimaz
does.
Brimaz is pretty good. That's the thing about Legacy is that once all the powerful effects are done trading, just having one of dude who generates more value can really be good.
Yeah,
like, oh yeah, he's very good alongside Mom.
Yeah, but like.
Well, I mean, not even alongside Mom. Let's just say dust is cleared, everything's said and done, I top deck a Brimaz, like, your opponent is forced to find a Swords to Plowshares within one attack phase, or you're going to get value. And even just having a 1-1 token in stick around in Legacy games that are grindy can deal 5 and 7 points of damage. So
yeah, fair enough. But I was thinking more along the lines like Mirren Crusader does a great job itself, and so does the Sarah Avenger. Like
Mirren Crusader is so good right now.
I can put a Jitte on either one of those and be quite happy with myself at the end of the day.
Without a doubt.
Just the amount of black-green running around, So good. So good.
Yep. So that was,
I would expect to see a lot of red in Philly as well. Blue and red.
Oh yeah. I expect to see a lot of bug and crap like that, but it is Eternal Weekend. So it might be different. You know what I mean? It's not always what you expect at that thing because people come from all over the world for the Sunday,
Yeah, the Vintage Event is serious. It's one the of the best.
Vintage series.
One of the
best. Wait, so what is it? What's Eternal Weekend? Is this like some,
it's like a GP thing? That's not, no, it always happens in Philly. It's, hosted by Wizards. Like it is a big deal. It's like a GP, but it's not. One day is, Legacy. The next day is, a huge Vintage tournament. It's just,
It's like second to, maybe the Vintage National Championships in Prestige.
So yeah. This is the tournament to pull a robbery at.
Yes. If you were going to hire a bunch of goons to go in and rob a Magic tournament, you would make millions of dollars here.
On Sunday. Not necessarily. Those
same decks are going to be there on Saturday playing Winnabox as the tune-up. They're going to be there.
That's true, but a lot of people are going to leave their good stuff, away from the
Well, I mean, you shouldn't rob Magic players. No.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
But, I mean, if you were to come here and take all of this power, you would never be able to fence it all. It would take infinite amount of time, and you like some of these cards, you know, people have had speculated professionally to guarantee them, you know, like these are people who have insurance on their collections. So
yeah,
right. So second place we have Elves, which we've gone over a bazillion times.
Elves is just so good to play right now. If you want to go through ridiculous combo loops, this is the way to go.
Fair. Yeah, I'm not gonna argue.
The backup plan of just beat you up with 1/1s, as I was just saying, is really strong.
Blue-red Delver in third with from Burton Cheedy, and he's packing 4 Treasure Cruise. That's really the only thing.
Did he go back to that? Did he top 8 both of these? Oh no, this is the first one we're doing, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
I'm used to doing Legacy second.
I understand that, but you know, this week there's a reason. And then fourth place we have, Teemer Delver. What got added here? 3 Treasure Cruises, of course.
Yeah,
it's weird to see it called Teemer now.
It's Bug Delver.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, Young Pyromancer? I don't know. Is that better than Monastery Swift Spear?
For his list, yes.
Really? 32 spells? All
right,
fairly
so,
cheap?
So then you're getting more value out of the 1/1s and you have less, I think the 1/1 token sticking around is more powerful than a +1 per turn. He has Tarmogoyfs to block opposing Swift Spears as well, so like, yep. He just wants to go wide.
I was just about to say Swift Spear doesn't get through your opponent's goyfs.
Yeah,
sometimes
it does.
Sometimes it does. And a lot of times it trades. Like, you have to have quite a hand to be willing to block a Swift Spear with your Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, but it's scary. I don't care. If there's already an instant in the graveyard, like, you know your Goyf's not getting any bigger, but you know that Swift Spear is.
Sure.
I like that he's packing the full, like, a nice 3 surgical extractions in the sideboard for hit against graveyard, but really just is awesome against opposing Treasure Cruise strategies. You know, you're able to just grind them out a whole lot better.
Sure.
I'm trying to get Megan to run one of those in her modern pod sideboard. She won't do it, though.
I mean, I run them in decks that don't have black mana. It's an extremely powerful effect for 0 mana.
Yeah.
Like, the ability to take all of a copy of a card of, you know, out of the opponent's deck and possibly strip it out of their hand as well, you know, can just blow games out for 0.
It just plays into the toolbox theme of Pod, I think so.
It's just a great way to protect yourself from people who want to go broken.
Yep.
And plus, like, with, you know, again, Treasure Cruise being one of the preeminent cards, you know, just, like, being able to get rid of all of them is going to make their decks feel very flat.
Mm-hmm. Grixis Delver comes in fourth.
Not something we're used to seeing.
No, it's not. I mean, you see it once in a while, but yeah, you're right. It's not something you're used to seeing. 4 Deathrite Shaman, 4 Delver of Secrets. And normally this is like considered 4-color Delver.
This list is sweet.
Oh, it's awesome. I love Grixis. That's my homeboy.
Yeah. True Name Nemesis 2, 3 Young Pyromancers. I mean, it's what you're used to seeing when you see 4-color Delver put out there. It just, that's what it is.
Yeah, just no Goyfs.
Right. Well, usually in the 4-color, the reason they call it that is because of the Deathrite Shaman's abilities and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be able to use the green ability, so you'll run, like, Trop.
Yeah, and he does have 2 Trops.
Yeah.
There,
so that's, it was just named weird this time. I guess they're all on these fucking names at SCG. Goofy. Grixis Delver in 5th, as I said. Elves in 6th. Again, elves is elves. It's been figured out.
Cabal so therapies and a deck with young pyromancer is so sweet.
Are you talking about the Grixis deck?
It makes its own token to replace. It's literally just a totally free spell on flashback.
Yeah, it's just mean.
Yeah, guys, be prepared for elves. It's crazy out there. Sorry, yeah. Lagging behind.
Blue red Delver, in seventh and countertop in eighth.
Miracles?
Countertop.
It's not really countertop. I mean, it's not the same countertop list.
No, but it still has the same plan.
The plan now is to just like survive long enough to make sure that I make angels. But old school blue white countertop was all about, it was a toolbox deck piecing together the correct enchantments to lock your opponents out of the game while you won with Thopter Sword. A little different.
You know. Okay. All right, look. The old countertop, as you said, stalled until you could get out a big threat to end the game.
Yeah, this one
does the exact same thing. It stalls until it gets out the big threat to end the game.
It's, I don't know. It's a very different plan. It really is.
I don't know. I've watched a lot of these games play out, and it's like, I'm going to put down my counterbalance. I'm going to use my divining top.
That happens a lot.
Dude, just go ahead and stall this game out until I can put an intrigue on top and win on the
beatdown. It's a much shorter clock. It's much more able to be the beatdown. It's like the difference between fairies and five color.
The clock is quicker, beatdown in this list.
The clock is quicker, I'll give you that, but it still plays out to be much the same as the old one.
What's up with 9th place Jim Davis on Burn? Isn't he like a well-known control player?
Burn's very good right now.
Yep. Am I crazy here, or is Jim Davis always with Delver?
Well, Delver and Burn are not that much different.
No, not really.
And 4 Price of Progress, 4 Fire Blast. I love playing this list.
Of the whole list is the 14 snow-covered mountains.
Yeah, I like the snow-covered mountains.
And the Eidolon of the Great Revel, like we've said before, is just what's taken this deck to...
Yeah, he doesn't run the Swiss Spears, though, which is shocking. He chooses to keep the Grim Lavamancers instead.
How do you feel about that?
I think it can be very correct in this list, because he knows that eventually he is going to be out of cards in hand and unable to get through. And like, when there are as many token creations through the young pyromancer in, you know, the field as he's expecting, like, you would rather have 2 damage to their face than attacking for a lot when they can just jump with it.
I might be like a legacy noob, but am I missing something with the Ashen Riders in the board? Is that like a sneaking? Okay, sneaking show. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I was confused for a second. I was like, what?
This guy, I just love some of the cards he plays, like the one Flame Rift in the sideboard, you know, smash the smithereens in his board, and just like...
What does Satyr Wayfinder do for him?
Two
in the board. That's interesting.
He doesn't have a way to cast it.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. He has 14 snow-covered mountains. Those are his only mana-producing lands.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Wooded Foothills was something else. Yeah, you're right.
So... It's also for show and tell is the only thing I can think of, because you'll be able to allow the trigger to resolve before, and just buys you more chances to Tash and Riders, maybe? I have no idea. It's the only way you're gonna be able to use it.
Yeah,
he's just like that concerned with the sneak and show. Like, that's the only thing I can possibly think of. He has 5 cards in his sideboard for sneak and show. That's it. Like, I'm pretty sure he'll be able to resolve the Satyr Wayfinder ability. And, it's just, you only get lands though. You can't get creatures. It's not.
Yeah.
The fuck
I wonder if that's a mistake by us.
Maybe it's Satyr Fire Drinker Satyr, whatever.
Know what? You're right. That's what it's gotta be. Cause that, I cannot see any reason for that. Celso, explain it to me. I'm sure you know.
Maybe he's just that awesome where you can put 3 joke cards in a sideboard.
Right, because you should have the cards. Like, I got these satyrs. I put them in.
I mean, the Flame Rift is kind of a joke, too. I don't think he seriously boards that in any matchup.
Yeah. we do have 3 reanimator decks in the top 16. The last one, which finished in 15th place, is packing as part of one of its reanimator targets a Sphinx of the Steel Wind, which is different.
That's not what
you normally see.
It's awesome.
First Strike, Vigilance, Lifelink, Prot Red, Prot Green.
6/6. Dies to Sword.
How much mana does that cost?
8.
8.
It's reanimator.
It's reanimator. No. I mean, it's actually a coma in a way.
It's spent some time as a tinker target until Inkwell Leviathan came around, and you know, it's always like, it's really sweet against any of the red decks. They cannot do a single thing about it. Nope. And like, I don't care how big your Monastery Swiss Spear is, flying, First Strike, Vigilance, Lifelink, Prot, your dude, 6/6. Like, It's very, very next level. I like it a lot. And like also matches, it's just really good, the 2-4 in the Delver matchup.
Right. Legacy question. Am I wrong? Is show and tell, is that common in Reanimator? Cause he's got two.
Of times they'll have some amount in the main, but they definitely always have it in the sideboard because a lot of people incorrectly will just board in graveyard hate against the Reanimator strategies, which is often a mistake.
Does this deck get Grizzlebrand out on like turn one?
It can.
It's usually turn two.
End of your turn one, I cast Entomb. I get Grizzlebrand. Turn two, I play my land. I cast Exhumed. Do you have anything in your graveyard? Sweet, I have a Grizzlebrand. Draw seven.
Okay. No,
like blue-black Reanimator has always been one of the most powerful strategies in the room. Like, I think right now, if you're playing Legacy, Elves, Reanimator are great choices. Awesome choices.
Yeah, speaking of Elves, we have more of them in the top 16. Like,
yeah.
These are decks to worry about.
You need to have answers for all of these things, and it's very hard to do that in a 15-card sideboard, so you need to make sure you have a lot that you can take care of with your main deck.
Right.
Is this a field that Maverick can take advantage of?
I think Maverick is pretty sweet right now. I really do. Like, if I'm gonna play Death and Taxes, I think I just want the green mana. Like, if nothing else, for access to the green white mana that draws a card when you sacrifice it. Like
Horizon Canopy.
Yeah, Horizon Canopy. Just, man, make your lands do work. I mean, there you get like access to Green Sun Zenith.
Yeah, thank you.
And a lot of other sweet stuff. So like even just having a one of Scavenging Ooze in your list right now is just super, super sweet against the Treasure Crew strategies.
Right. So in our standard portion, yes, we're doing this backwards. Don't give me shit about it, listeners. I don't care. Andrew Boswell versus Andre Batista. Andrew Boswell wins 2-0. Elliot Wolcheski versus Trevor Humphreys. Trevor Humphreys wins 2-1. Dylan Murphy 2-1 over Scott Robbins. David Shields 2-0 over Steven Jack.
Wait, is that two guys? Is it a two-headed giant deal?
Yeah, I guess.
Wow, two first names.
Sweet. I used to work for a Tim Mike.
Really?
Yeah. Trevor Humphreys beats Andrew Boswell. Dylan Murphy beats David Shields. And Trevor Humphreys takes this thing down. We'll get into the controversy over this in a minute. Let's go over the deck list first. Is there anything worth talking about here, Ryan, as far as deck list goes? Anything new? I know you scour these.
Not for the teamer mid-range in 8th place. This is a bit different than the one that showed up at the GP, but an interesting list. I think it's cool. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, it's mostly, I mean, it's Jeskai, it's Mono Red, it's Abzan, and I mean, that's pretty much what it is. There's a green black devotion in the top 8, but
that's been showing up the last.
Yeah, that's not nothing new.
A lot of the known stuff.
Yeah, and then this teamer mid-range from Andre Batista gets in there, and this is going big. I like this. 23 creatures, 4 Elwish Mystic, 4 Goblin Rabble Master, 2 Heir of the Wilds, 4 Savage Knuckleblades, 4 Stormbreath Dragons, 4 Sylvan Caryatids, and a Keranos God of the Storms. I like any deck that plays Keranos so main.
Yeah,
that card is good.
I saw this list. I said, Will's gonna fucking love this.
No, this is sweet. This is super good.
I like
this. 6 Planeswalkers. I thought about this deck a whole lot, you know. Stubborn Denials in the main, like, you know, Teemer Charm is a one of to just like make them play around it for all of games 2 and 3 when you're probably never going to draw it again. Yeah. Like, awesome.
Yeah, they just figure you're on 4.
Yeah, oh, dude, he obviously has Mana Leak. He always has Mana Leak. You know, and then like he always has 4 Spike. You always got to play around the 4 Spike. Just board him out in game 2. Make him play a turn slower and board in your aggro plan.
Okay, I'm going to ask this stupid question, you know, and again, this is just me being standard-minded here. Why is there no Crater's Claws in a deck with 23 creatures? Like, you're going to turn on Raid every time you cast that, right?
Ferocious, yeah.
He only has 2 guys who turned it on their own.
Oh, okay.
Yep, like.
Well, yeah, Savage Knuckleblades. Okay, I
Stormbreath
really
Dragon.
Understand now.
He has mana creatures. It would be fine. I could see it. I mean, I understand why he has Lightning Strike. 3 is a very important number, and Stoke he's going to be able to cast, you know, pretty consistently. You know,
yes.
Rabble Master and Stoke are like.
I like the 2
peanut butter and tuna fish.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. The Planeswalker package.
Planeswalkers are awesome.
1 Chandra, 2 Kiora, because you know if you ever have gone infinite or not gone infinite, gone ultimate with this, yeah. You don't lose usually.
That's a good feeling.
One Sarkon and two Xenagos. So again, Xenagos showing back up. No, this is a different list to what we've been seeing, but I mean.
I like it. It's sweet. I mean, I think I like Kibler's list a little bit better for my style, but, you know, sweet, sweet cards in there. I just don't know about mana dorks. Anytime I play a deck with mana dorks, I feel bad about myself.
Yeah, I like the approach Kibler is taking too. It's not what I expect. As I said, it wasn't what I expected, but this deck seems to have a lot of stuff mainboard that Kibler sideboards into, which might be the way you want to go. Like maybe you want to sideboard into these Stubborn Denials and stuff.
No, it's much more powerful in the main deck. The ability to make them play around four spike, four games, two and three, when you potentially don't even have them in your deck, or it's just going to turn into a hard negate anyway, is awesome. Yeah. Like, I've played more four spikes than most people in the game have.
Kibler also ran, what was it, like three or four of the Teemer Charms.
Yeah. If you've ever played with four spike, like it when was it was four. Good, I mean, it literally, once you cast it turn one.
It was always good.
In game two and three, like you're literally, you've just slowed your opponent down a whole turn for the rest of the match because you cast it game one. And like we'll say, a lot of times you just side him out.
I lost to a Teemer player at game day because I didn't expect it. He went like Disdainful Stroke on me twice, Teemer Charm on me twice, and Stubborn Denial me all in the same game. It was fucking brutal.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, this is what happens when these new players don't learn to play against control.
It's not
like mana leak in the format. You don't learn how to play around things.
He went turn one Mystic, turn two Knuckleblade, and then turn three, I wasn't able to kill it on my turn two, and then he just was able to untap and keep up mana the whole game and kill me with the fucking Knuckle Monkey. Anything I did.
Yeah, he had counter backup when he got down his beast, you can't win.
Yeah.
Like, that is the plan of control. Like, oh, I got counter backup and his board's cleared.
Certainly. Aggro control, I resolve one threat and ride it.
Yeah, yep. That's it. That's all I need to do. I mean, even control in a way was kind of like that, the old school controls where you'd run one creature and you're just like, this to stick and I have backup counter control, I have this.
Yeah, that was usually a late game thing though. Like, I mean, this, you know, like, I don't know, I played a lot of stuff like Miracle Grow back in the day, which was just all about, you know, getting one threat down on turn one or two and then not letting them develop anything further than that.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's kind of what Death and Taxes has taken the mantle of. That's what they're trying to do. So it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, while, like you said, it's a little bit of a later game, once that threat's down, it's the same game. You know what I mean? I just need counter backup. And if I have that, I'm good. You know, so that's cool. So I said that, and I know everybody heard me say it, I said that Trevor Humphreys won this tournament. And as of right now, Trevor Humphreys did win this tournament. As of right now. He got himself into a little bit of trouble because people watching it on the stream happened to notice, hey, he's shuffling very funny there. This does not seem right. Well, what he was doing was Humphrey shuffled his opponent's deck, and while doing so, he thumbs non-land cards directly to the top. He never changes the top 10 cards and forces his opponent to mulligan to 5, game 1, and to play off 1 land in the second.
I'm watching the video of him doing this right now, and it's pretty obvious now that I know what I'm watching for. Right.
The GIF? Are you looking at the GIF?
Yeah, I'm not looking at the GIF. I'm just watching the stream, and I've just, you know, it's it.
You can see it.
You see it. It's pretty obvious. There's two judges watching him. You see his opponent's reaction to it. Like, at that point in time, you need to protect yourself and call a judge.
Right.
Yep. Which is what's happened at an invitational with this guy before. We were talking about before the cast, like, at the last invitational, an opponent called the judge over to have him shuffle his deck in.
Yeah, he did. So Jared Silva from StarCity.com, he's the organized play manager. His response to this is, we have reviewed the footage of Mr. Humphreys and concluded that there is enough evidence that we have submitted an investigation to the judge program. We have contacted Mr. Humphreys to notify him of this and to request a statement for inclusion in the investigation. This also activates our prize hold policy for players under investigation, meaning that Mr. Humphreys' prizes will be head pending the completion of this investigation. If the investigation results in a suspension, his prizes will be donated to charity.
Yeah, and it's a sweet charity to boot, too, so I'm fingers crossed.
Yeah, if there's any further, he does go on to say, if there's any further evidence that, you know, you noticed watching or what have you, that you would like to submit, go ahead and you can send it to him. But for the most part, they have what they need.
I really do hope this player is punished. I cannot abide cheating.
I do not like cheating, and that moves us directly to the next... topic, and this is play etiquette, and this is going to encompass a lot of zones. It was initially brought on because, you know, all the crap that, you know, all the stuff.
There was a shitstorm on our board.
It wasn't just on our board. It was everywhere. Like Twitter went crazy. I mean, it was everywhere. Mm. And like, I know, and this was over the RE Lax play. Now I've said before, one, we all agree cheating's bad. So like that,
cheating is
awful. Like that does not ever need to be a part of this game. Please stay, keep it out of the game. If you catch somebody cheating, I don't care if you're a spectator. You have the right to go up to a judge and go, hey judge, you should really look at him. He's doing something bad.
Just walk up to the front desk, say, hey, is there a judge who could watch a match for me, please, real quick?
Yeah. And the judge will come right over. As soon as you explain, I think he's up to something fishy. They'll come over and they will stand behind said player, and said player will stop cheating at that point.
Yeah, and if they try and do something as brash as to cheat on camera in front of multiple judges, they will face consequences.
Right. The arrogance of some people, though.
I know, the thing is, if you're going to do it on camera, especially like an SCG or a GP...
He wasn't good enough to do it on camera.
The worst SCG or GP numbers at the top 8 is usually about 4,000 people. So you have 4,000 or 8,000 extra eyes, you know, staring at this. Someone's going to catch it, right?
Yeah, but to be fair also, there's just so many times in the Swiss and at smaller level events that it's not going to be caught. Like, it's just like, you know, steroid policies in sports. Like, you have to be so vigilant against it because it's a proven tactic to work if it happens. You know, if you're allowed to resolve it, you're going to win.
Yeah, you get me started all by thoughts of the steroid,
Yeah, bring back roids. Make baseball watchable again.
Baseball is very watchable.
Have you seen the Royals, dude?
Have you seen baseball?
No one cares about baseball anymore. Dude,
they run like crazy. It's so fun to watch them just get on base.
Ryan, you're so American.
I like Colin Coward's got an interesting philosophy on baseball. I
agree with about 2% of what Colin Coward says. That dude is a blowhole at best.
The season is just way too long. If the season were shorter and people could care about it a bit more.
Wait. Okay, you said the season is too long. All right, what's longer, NFL, NHL, or MLB?
Baseball.
Wrong.
Well, probably actually football, but they only play 16 games, so people care more. Hockey. The games people care more about.
Hockey is by far a lot longer. Then it's the NFL.
They've shortened the hockey season, too, in recent years, too.
Still 82 games with the longest playoffs in all of fucking sports, but those playoffs are awesome, and they're the longest ones. So, I mean,
no one listening can name a Royals player a week ago.
Dude, I can't name a Royals player now.
I can't name a Royals player right now, but that doesn't mean I don't like watching them play baseball.
I mean, look, it's like watching Little League baseball. When somebody gets on first, you know he's stealing, and no one can stop it. It's great. It's like, he's gonna run. Gone. It's like, you know he's running. What are you doing? Pitch out
something. Yeah, it's so sweet. Well, I mean, you can't pitch out every time. You just gotta play solid defense and don't let a man on first. Don't walk anyone first.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to force pitchers to shorten their stride.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not going to take as long getting the ball to the plate, which is a good thing.
Yeah, pitch from the, what do they call that?
Well, you're pitching from the set. Already, but a lot of people who pitch from the stretch recently, you'll notice that their times are still around a second getting the ball to the plate, and that's bad. Like, you want it to be below that. Anyway, this is not magic talk. Okay, so I had my head somewhere, and now I've lost it.
Play etiquette.
That's right. So, I mean, like... As far as cheating goes, we need to keep that out of the game. If you're a player, please, you know, be vigilant to stop people from doing it. I don't care if it's your friend. You need to tell somebody about it. I mean, it might be cause some butthurt feelings, but you know what? I'd rather have that butthurt feeling with a friend than watch this game suffer.
Yeah, butthurt heals.
Yeah, it does. It will heal over a while. You know, it might take him a couple years for him to understand that what he was doing was for the best of everything, but if he doesn't, you know what? He's a dick anyway. He's a dick anyway!
You're so right!
Yeah, you shouldn't have friends that cheat at a card game.
Yeah. I mean,
what are you doing?
It's a card game. If you're gonna cheat at this, you're an asshole, and if you're gonna be mad at me because I called you out on being an asshole, then I don't wanna be your friend anyway. You can eat a dick.
It's more than a card game. It's fucking nerd light, man. Like, I know so many people who would not be around if it wasn't Mad Man. It's just so important.
Granted, I can think of at
least it's so important.
He probably would have killed himself years ago.
Jeez.
But he still hopes he's going to play Magic. Anyway, so, and then there's the RE Lax side of it, which, okay, now, I will give a pass to any player during the top 8 of being excited about a play, especially a top deck. My issues with his style of play comes a lot earlier in the tournament, where, like, I'm a stoic player. Like, I like to be quiet at the table. I like to sit there, analyze what's going on. And to be quite frank, when you pull shenanigans during the middle of games, you know, and you're sitting there and you're blatantly trying to distract your opponent, I don't think that that is necessarily good. Like,
you can do it in poker. I mean, like, we're playing a mental sport where you're challenging your opponent. I don't give a, like, okay, not Friday Night Magic, guys, okay, but like a professional level Magic, when you're playing for money, I don't give a fuck about what you, if you want me to let you play stoic and silently or not. I'm gonna take every single advantage I can, and I'm gonna, what a lot of what Ari Lax does is he mines for information. He talks about all of the potential plays his opponent could possibly make while constantly analyzing his reactions, trying to get tells, and you know, like he gets percentage points because of it, and a lot of players do. And I think you're if you don't have a way to interact with your opponent on a higher level than the game of Magic, you're never going to be a master, and you're not going to be a top level magician. You need to have an additional edge. If that edge is playing absolutely the most perfect baller Magic ever, but like for me, I've always been able to get in people's heads. I've always been able to make them make plays that I want them to. Like I watched Ari Lax say, you know, his opponent untaps, he's like, oh, you're going to kill my planeswalker, like, immediately, like, and he knows, because he has a backup planeswalker in his hand, he wants his opponent to do that, and sure enough, his opponent casts Hero's Downfall. Like, if I can lead my opponent astray without doing anything illegal, without in any way, you know, endangering the sport of the game, I think it's fair to do. It's blood sport with
my
cards.
Only issue with one thing he did during the tournament, like, I don't mind him, a lot of people were like, oh, how he slammed the Elspeth there, and what was that, the semi-final?
You have every right to slam.
Yeah, I don't care
about that. Yeah, I don't care about that either. My thing was in one of the matches against the, I want to say it was the 19-year-old kid, in one of the Swiss matches, his opponent's about 20 seconds into thought.
Himself, by the way.
Yeah, he's a bit older. He's already graduated. He's like a software engineer or something, right?
Yeah, I think he's
like
20,
so he's got to be older than college.
Yeah, he's still pretty young.
He's still
a
kid.
He's a young guy, and the fact that though, I thought that was kind of scummy, his opponent's like in thought, and he like stops, Matt, he literally, and this is something we talked about on the Exiled cast, was if you reach across the table and touch the cards in my hand, you're liable to get your nose broke, your
hand
broke.
Then you're going to get ejected from the tournament.
Yeah, you cannot actually touch your opponent's cards.
He touched his opponent's cards. This is on camera. He grabs the cards in his hand and pull in separate. He's like, how many cards in hand? His opponent answers. And then Ari starts like interrupting his thought to count all the guy's lands, count the cards in the graveyard. He's like, wait, how many cards in hand? Then he reaches across the table and like spreads him out with his hands in the, while the other guy's holding him, and then counts him. And the other dude's face, like, he's just sitting there like, did he really? This guy really just touched my cards.
I now know that if I'm playing against you, I'm going to try and get my hands on your cards as quick as I can. That's for sure.
I wouldn't recommend that.
I thought that, you know, unless, like, you're allowed to say, hey, can I see your graveyard? And if somebody says, hey, can I see your graveyard? You have to hand them your graveyard. And technically, by the rules, they don't even have to ask. They can reach over, grab your graveyard, and they can count.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. That's something different.
Well,
that's,
I mean, it all depends. You know, if he's unable to actually get a correct count on the guy's cards in hand, and he feels the guy is being evasive, you know, I don't know that he should grab the guy's hands, but.
Yeah,
that's
just it.
No, he wasn't being evasive.
If you grab those off of them, you know,
and flash a card,
and the player gets startled because he's staring at those and drops the cards.
Yeah,
you know, like you caused me to do that, and now I don't. I think
weird.
At that point, you're probably skating along a rule.
It was weird, and that when that happened, I was like, man, that is like dickish, dude. He just touched the opponent's hand, like. I didn't mind. I thought it was kind of cool. Like at first, I was like, "Oh, he's totally trying to fuck with the guy." Like, wait, how many cards? Wait, and you've drawn how many? Like, he was trying to throw the guy to see if maybe he had like not drawn an extra card or something.
Oh, I mean,
trying to get him.
We
flustered.
Just talked about how important it is to try and make sure your opponent isn't cheating you.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was trying to, and he got a bit excited, and then so he grabbed the guy's hand. It was like, you know, he was checking all the numbers, counting the guy's lands. You know, he like spread the guys.
Yeah, I know. I know the play you're talking about now. I just, you know, I like if he thought there was an extra card, you know, that's a.
Yeah, I probably would ask the player, and this is me, the way I play. I probably would be like, can you please set them out for me so I can see
like,
them?
Like separate them and on the table, please.
Yes, can you separate them on the table so I can see them? And then you know they have to do.
Because drawing extra cards is one of the easiest GCs. Yeah.
I think the guy the first time he asked, he like fanned him out and was like four. I got four, and then Ari went and counted everything, and then was like, wait, how many cards do you say you have in it? And then he reached across the table. Yeah, it was weird.
Well, I mean, if you're concerned about that, I think you have a lot of right. I mean, maybe you go to the judge and talk about it because it's about etiquette or whatever. Yeah. But like,
going back and watching, I don't think it was as big of a deal as like, I think a lot of people were jumping on him. It was just like this
haters
mob
gonna
rush.
Hate.
Yeah, I think there was like a rush to be like, oh, he's being a dick. But if you actually go back and watch, I like at first I was like, yeah, you know what, an asshole, like kind of like everyone else. Then I go back and watch. And then in retrospect, it's like he really wasn't all that bad. Like I thought, what
Ari is genuinely a nice guy.
Yeah, I thought what Jan did throwing his chair.
No, that's So like if you're gonna like acclaim the Li Shi Tian incident and vilify the Ari Lax Elspeth slam, like you need to get your shit straight.
Well, like I said, I don't. You know, the Elspeth slam, I don't care about that. No. Like everything I cared about came a lot earlier in the tournament.
Well,
where it, like, and it's more just along the lines of like if I'm sitting across from somebody playing the way he does, and he plays that way from round one to
Angelo,
round 30. I'm going to sit there and walk away from the game going, this dude's a dick.
It's allowed to be within the rules of the game. You don't.
It is.
You shouldn't care what your opponent thinks about you while he's your opponent. If he's your buddy afterwards, and it's a Grand Prix event, yeah, absolutely. You make friends with him afterwards for sure if it's your buddy, but like, opponents are opponents and they are only obstacles to your victory. When you are playing a game for Bloodsport like we do in Magic, and when you spend as much of your life doing as we do,
I don't look at this game as blood sport. In the end, you know, I don't
have
purposely,
before in the past, I can definitely remember matches where
I purposely do not try to make people feel bad when they're walking away from the table.
When they're walking away from the table.
And I've seen this happen, you know,
but
like.
When the match is over, you do everything you can to be a human being, but when the match is
over. If you're doing that during the match, and then when the match is over, you come over to me trying to be a human being, I'm like, fuck you, get away from me, you're an asshole.
I guess, man, but I mind gamed you when we were first, you know, doing it. Like, I absolutely used every tactic I could against you, and we're very good friends now.
Yeah, I mean, you used to try to do that. I'm not gonna, you know, a couple times it worked, and then after a while, I figured it out, and I know how to play against it, but
I don't
it doesn't mean that I like
it. I do. I don't play serious Magic anymore, but like, yeah. I was gonna play serious Magic. You better believe I have a plan to interact with my opponent's strategy that does not involve the game. Like, that's next level stuff, and every great master has their own technique that transcends the game.
I suppose, man. I mean, I've never seen Kai act that way. I've never seen.
That's not his technique, though. No.
His technique is I'm going to play the game within
flawless
the
flawless perfection.
Everybody.
Right, but not everyone can do that. So
Kai is still a monster, like, though. I heard him say something to his opponent. He said something on camera that had me laughing at the last code tours. They were pulling away from his match on camera. His opponent, like, said something, and he goes, no, you are wrong. I could have killed you any number of ways. I had all these in my hand. I chose which way you died.
That's arrogance. See, that's going to make me feel worse about that. All these, is, I think, is a very insulting.
You know what?
It was so funny.
But
no, because his opponent was on tilt.
Yeah, it really.
So your opponent's already pissed off, so you rub it in more, and you think that's okay?
No,
I don't know, man.
Just
I think
like, look,
like
you're wrong.
If you're going to talk about it, you gotta. If you're going to draw lines and
talk about it, but
you know,
I can't get a word in. I would love to talk about this, but I can't get a word in. it's just okay.
And if I talk too much, you just tell me to fuck off, man.
When it comes, okay, I actually know exactly what game Ryan's talking about with Kai. I saw that. It was probably, oh Christ, I want to say earlier this year at a pro tour.
Yeah.
And his opponent was kind of giving him the, man, if you wouldn't have drew that, I would have had you so dead, giving him that type of shit after
this.
The guy's like, no, you died because that's how I chose for you to die. I still had multiple answers, but you know, it was kind of the comeback to, you got lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, Kai, you got lucky.
So retaliation is okay? I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, look, if somebody throws a ball at you, are you not going to throw the ball back?
I mean, I generally do, but I would also be accused by many to have bad play etiquette, according to what you guys are trying to tell me it is.
I just know it depends, too, on how mad my opponent, like, I don't, like, Kai's opponent, I don't think was that pissed off. He was just kind of slightly tilted, so he was just kind of joshing back. Like, if your opponent's really mad, I'd probably just ignore it. I'd probably just walk away and be like, whatever, dude, I got lucky.
Yeah, see, well, I think play etiquette really comes down to, like, when you're sitting across from the player across from you, and it, again, it might just be me. I think there's a lot of players out there who feel the game should be played, you know, this way, but like, it's one thing to be friendly and jovial with your opponent, and I have no problem with that, but if you can clearly tell that your opponent, you know, is giving you the looks, or you know, it's like, dude, stop being a dick. If he just tells you, hey, can you be quiet? I think you should at
least.
He's
not allowed to. It's not within his rights as a player.
What, to say, can you, stop talking so I can think?
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna call a judge over because of that?
No,
I don't think
but
the
I
judge
think at some point, you know, you just have to just not be a dick.
You can also.
That point comes after game three. That point comes after the match.
See, we just see this completely.
A lot of players were saying that Ari wouldn't shut up while they were playing him. And my whole issue with that was like, look, man, you're a grown ass dude. If you got a problem with the guy across the table incessantly talking at you during the match, look him in the eye and say, look, man, I know you're excited. It's the Pro Tour. We could talk after we play. Like, no one said that to him, and that's their own fucking fault. Like,
exactly.
You're a grown, like, look, if you really had that much of an issue to take to Twitter and blah, blah, blah on your Facebook after your match at the Pro Tour, cause he wouldn't stop incessantly talking, why didn't you during the match say, look, man, like, I appreciate it, but you are incessantly talking right now. I don't appreciate it. Like, we can talk. You can ask me these questions and stuff after the match. And no one said that. And the fact that no one said that to him, really, then how upset could they have been during the match? Like,
that's
I don't get
well
it. Like,
yeah, I will say this. If somebody plays that way against me,
you're going to do something about
it. And if
it.
I
know
win
you
game
will.
One, I'm going to slow play the shit out of them. Every time they interrupt me, I'll be like, I lost my train of thought. Hold on.
But that actually is illegal in the game of Magic.
Well, but if he's making me lose my train of thought and I'm not making the proper play because of him yapping, hey, I need to regroup and rethink. You keep interrupting my train of thought.
See, I feel like you have a harder time explaining that to a judge. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm like, I was going to do something and then he interrupted me and then I had to find what I was going to do again.
To me, it seemed like a lot of people got mad after the fact, like, cause they got mind tricked and then they were salty afterwards. Like
that's
people with
like
Patrick Chapin. Patrick Chapin
is,
back in the day, he's the master, the inventor of the pin trick. He invented the pin trick for fuck's sake.
A great anecdote about Patrick Chapin. He's playing for top eight of a PTQ. He has a Chameleon Colossus in play and four other creatures.
Well, what's the Chameleon Colossus?
It's a 4/4 protection from black. That's the relevant part. It has protection from black. So he casts a black spell, which gives X target creatures fear, and he says, I give all of my legal targets fear. Attacks with all his guys. His opponent, who could block the not feared Chameleon Colossus, does not block it. Patrick Chapin advances and wins the thing. So, and like,
see,
that's
I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I really don't, because he clearly stated. He was like,
right.
all
that
legal
trick
targets.
Doesn't work on Magic Online. That is impossible, that trick to work on Magic Online.
That,
like, it's
it doesn't.
Just, you know, that's the difference between paper Magic and Magic Online, is that there's this next level to the game.
But that's the kind of thing you were saying earlier, Will, that, like, makes these people, like, masters. Like, his pin trick and shit with the life totals, like, man, like, that's, I don't think what Ari did was necessarily, you know, in retrospect, after going back and looking at it, like, really, I was like, if these people really had such an issue, why didn't a single one of them, I mean, you said it yourself, you'd have said something to him during
the
game.
No, I don't know that I would have. I would try and compete with him on the mind games. I think Angelo would say something.
Yeah, Will's very vocal during play. I am not. And I would say something, but like, you need to, like, be quiet so I can think. You know, I would say something to him. It would be, you know, very curt and very to the point.
But see, if it's a serious event, you're exposing a possible weakness. You're showing your opponent your ribs. You know, like, there's nothing that prevents me from doing that. And if you try and prevent me from doing that, you're gonna run into more effort than is worth, for sure.
I suppose, but you know, in the end, I mean,
Again, I don't use these tricks nearly as much as I used
right.
to.
Right, I know what you're saying.
Very different style of magic, you know.
You're saying,
and like,
kind
and
of
I'm definitely not doing this at Friday night. That's for sure.
Well, you've done it. Me and you have done it to each other on Friday nights.
Yeah, so that's getting there.
But it's happened. But like, I know what you're saying, Will, and I get it. You're trying to, you know, just like a football team or a basketball team, you're trying to play the game at your pace.
Exactly.
And I have every right to try and bring the game back to my pace. And, you know, you can sit there and be a loud, you know, crazy idiot if you want. I mean, I'm just going to ignore you most of the time, but that doesn't mean that when I walk away from the game, I have to, you know, say two words to you, or I have to, you know,
no,
have any respect for you whatsoever as a player or as a person at that point. That's just the honest to God truth. If I walk away going, that dude's a dick, I don't like him, I don't want to talk to him, hey, I have every right to do that.
Absolutely.
And
you have every right to do that as a player, and you absolutely should if you feel the need to.
You know,
but like, that doesn't mean that anything that dick did was wrong in the context of Magic.
Okay, but when all these people walk away from watching, you know, his style of play and go, I don't like this dude.
People, haters hate.
Look,
haters
hate. No. Stop. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. You know, if you walk away from this going, that dude is a dick. Don't they have the same right as the person, you know, who's sitting across going, this dude is a dick? I mean, they have the right to judge him on his actions.
Sure.
And, you know, the fact is, if you're going to play this style, which, as Will said, perfectly legal, perfectly fine, understand you're going to ruffle some feathers playing this style.
Right, but I will say, you can, if you become a human being after the match, believe it or not, you can save more than you think. Like, Angela, when we first met each other, a lot of the times you would join in with my, you know, I one of the biggest advantages I felt I had at PTQs in those days was being seated with anywhere within 5 to 10 seats of you, and the farther away was the better, because we could disrupt the entire table of play.
We could disrupt the whole hall.
Yeah.
But so, there's also, you know, a big difference between old me and new me. I was
exactly.
asshole back then.
Well, I know, and again, old me and new me, I don't do that shit anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have as much success because either.
Yeah. So. As a kid, I actually have experienced more success in recent years than what I did back then. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't get to play Magic as seriously.
I focus more on what I'm actually doing on the table rather than trying to be the Dennis Rodman in the room.
Well,
you know what's going on the table. Well, I mean, I'm able, the thing was, okay, when I used to do that, you know, like, cause again, me and Will did, I can literally remember me and him playing in a tournament with about 30 some people, and the whole tournament stopped because of me and Will.
just an entire row of tables.
Yeah.
And was playing Magic.
It was just like, I love you, Will. And he's like, oh, I love you. And it's like, you know what, dude? One of us should have a sex change so we can start banging.
Oh, the FNM one. Yeah. Oh, dude, you should do it. You would be a prettier girl than me.
Yeah, but you're skinnier and you're more lanky, and you would make the transition so much better. The whole tournament stopped. Everyone got up and just stared at us while we played. And yeah, we could do this at a PTQ too. We could do this at States. It's happened.
Yeah.
But again, I also look back at the old me and go, what a boorish asshole. But at the same time, there was a lot of times I was thinking, how could I disrupt things rather than what does he have in hand?
Well, I mean, I would hope that there is room for both of those things at some point.
Maybe,
like,
but
and you know, I encourage people who, you know, like yourself, you know, are very stoic and quiet at the table, which is how I play more often than not these days, is, you know, just have something in mind that you can do to take your opponent out of his element, because if you can tilt your opponent, it's very powerful.
Going off that, what I do, I just stare at my opponents the whole time. Like, I set my hand down. I do what, like, if you watch Melissa de Tora play, she's not one to, like, constantly shuffle her cards. She puts them down in front of her and watches her opponents. And then if her opponents do something, she might pick up her hand and, you know, maybe she has a, you know, reaction to it or whatever, an instant or whatever.
Yeah.
And she'll set it down, but she's constantly eyes on the opponent.
Yeah.
I'm like that.
Another play right there where, you know, how she picks up her different things. She can plant false tells. She can make her opponent think she has cards in her hand that she doesn't, you know, by when she chooses to pick them up and not. I think that's a very, very interesting tactic.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's like how I get, cause a lot of people are uncomfortable with being stared at, like, this, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, if you stared at me, I'd think you're a dick.
Like, people just aren't big on eye contact these days. I don't know what it is. Like, you know, like,
if social media, like, man.
Yeah.
Live in a Twitter world.
I guess, but I'm eyes on their face the whole time. And that makes some of these people that are like just maybe even socially awkward. So they just like, I feel like
Yeah, totally. That can bust some nerds up.
It weirds them out. So that's how I play. I don't know. And I don't think that makes me a dick or bad etiquette or something because I'm trying to get
it. But see, it's a gray scale and it all depends on the player's personal opinions.
That's really what it comes down to. It's going to be, you know, the player crossing me. Cause I know like me, when I quit playing the way Will did and I started playing the way I do now, the fact is like I threw on horse blinders and it was so I didn't get distracted by things on the side of me. But I'm a scary looking dude with a hood.
You are a scary looking dude with your horse blinders on and that's its own intimidation.
And when I stare at you and I will stare straight through you. And that is how I play, Ryan. I stare at people. I want to see what's going on. You know, and that's all I want to see is this game. And I happen to just stare at my opponent. And yeah, I can scare people and I know it is an intimidation thing. It's not meant to be that, but it doesn't have to be sometimes.
I would hope that if you try to be super competitive again, that you would at least
I'm still gonna
hone the skill a little bit and use it when necessary. Like, there are some matches that you just have very little chance to win and you need something extra.
Fair, I suppose. This is not a topic we're going to come to a consensus on.
No, and, you know, I don't mean to ruffle anyone's feathers or anything like that, but like, you know, I think that for a person like me, you know, I was always concerned with being friends with the people after the game as well. I've been pretty good at building friendships through Magic. So, you know, if you are a player who has, a really demonstrative table technique that you tend to use or, you know, are a bad mannered player, as a lot of people would say, you know, just make sure that you're a good mannered human being.
Yeah. I will say it helps when you're at the table and, you know, even if you are being the bad etiquette player in my eyes, you know, laugh.
Yeah.
Make it look like you're having fun. Don't make it look like you're putting your opponent down as you're doing it.
Will come off a lot easier. Condescending asshole.
Yeah, the condescending side of it is what really, you know, eats me alive.
I know a person who gave that opinion to every single person he played against, and people, you know, 5 years after he left the game still talk about how much they disdain they had for him. You know,
what are those guys that's like, why'd you do that? Why'd you play that?
Well, I mean, he's a very different kind of human being than a lot of people are.
He's the guy who goes, why are you still playing? You can't win. Like, literally, I have the game right here. Do you have X card in your deck? Because if you don't have it in your deck, you're dead. We all know you're dead. You just need to concede unless that card's in your deck.
Yeah, like, why are you
why are you continue to play? You're wasting everybody's time here. And then the player continues to play, and then, you know, he loses, and he goes, did you even fucking have that in your deck? And the dude's like, no. He's like, no, how the fuck did you waste my time? Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. Well, but we'll move on. We'll kill this for now. I mean, everyone's going to play differently. So we got more info on the Magic the Gathering board game. And if you play D&D, you might want to pick these up just for the miniatures.
Yeah, the miniatures are super, super sweet. They're the kind of translucent red plastic.
Right.
As a DM, I'm real thirsty for them.
All of the Planeswalkers that are in this set, there's more pictures than what I gave in the link. I found them on somewhere else, but I wasn't able to re-find it. It showed up on Twitter or something. But, like, all the Planeswalkers are all colored in.
Yeah.
So, like, the Jades is real sweet. Yeah, and the rest of them are all translucent. But, like you said, as a Dungeon Master, like, are these not nice just to have?
No, these are beautiful. These are beautiful. I think, and from the short blurb that I've read, you know, it basically is kind of playing like a multiplayer game of Magic, except you have, you know, a different format in which to do it. You know, did you play the PlayStation 1 Magic game? You know, it was really terrible. Was that what it was called?
I think so. I still have it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do too. You like summon your guys, and they have to run across the field to attack your opponent. You know.
Yeah, I'm actually staring at it right now. It's from
it's a sweet.
I have it on PC, but it's okay. Battlegrounds.
Yeah,
probably worth money.
I don't know. When I bought it, it was only like
$3. I got it for $7. So it was pretty sweet.
It's not the best of games, but
no. But you know, I really I'm a board game guy. I think it's a fun way to get your friends together, and for nights you're not playing EDH, this is a real cool one. Plus for just to have to people who don't play Magic, you know?
Yeah, this is actually a pretty good introduction probably to the players who don't play Magic. Like, let's play this game, and if it is a little bit like Magic, the transition might might be a little bit easier.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, you know, there's got to be some kind of card resource system, or, you know, and I'm sure there's going to be dice rolling and a bunch of that stuff.
So. Yeah, they describe the game as a epic spell casting tactical movement based combat. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is very much like if you've ever played tabletop D&D where you have to move your character within so close of the, you know, your opponent's character to actually be
able like Warhammer.
Yeah,
it's actually, it's a hex tile system, you know, like there's a lot of systems, Heroclix.
Yeah, Heroclix.
Or anything else. So it's really close to just being that kind of quality game as a miniature game. You know, if they wanted to, they could expand a rule set and make it its own game. It's that kind of quality. But yeah, I think it's going to be really fun.
I bet sales are going to depend on whether they do that, Will.
I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Yeah, I like board games, you know, like I said, and you know, this is a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to buy one just to have in my collection. You know, I buy most Magic stuff, whether it's good or bad. I mean, the only thing I haven't jumped on in recent years that I used to, like, I would jump on everything at one time. I didn't buy the money.
Really?
Yeah, I did not get any of the money.
Oh, the From the Vault 20?
No, the money. When they did money.
Yeah, they partnered with the government of, they actually partnered with a government, I think it was like New Zealand or something.
Oh, that's
right.
Yeah, I do remember this now, yeah.
Actual currency. The one thing that surprised me about this, like, I'm really excited about it. I, when the movie was called, when they said they were gonna come out with a movie, I was like, oh, they'll have a board game and shit come out then, but the fact that it's coming out now has me real excited about what they're going to release around like the time of the movie.
The movie, I don't even want to think.
I don't have high hopes. I don't have high hopes.
Do not. Like, if it comes in above sci-fi, Dungeons and Dragons movies, I'll be happy.
I will say, I've seen a couple sweet Dungeons and Dragons movies, but never have they been made by Dungeons and Dragons.
I hope it's good, man. I hope it's
never-ending
story. And...
But I read a lot of the books.
Yeah. Megan's reading the books now. I don't know how she does it.
I've plowed through pretty much all of them. And that's, I refer to it as plowing through.
Yeah,
it is. Because it's not good.
Either way, board games should be pretty sweet. I'm excited. Definitely a good time to have your friends over and play it.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like a good thing to, you know, instead of putting cards on the table that might get knocked over once you've had too many drinks.
Beverages, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, once you've had a little bit too many beverages, you ain't gotta worry about, you know, you can put your cards away, you can pull out this, and you can play your game on this, cause even if you fucking damage the hex tiles, you can go to any gaming store and buy a D&D hex tile pad. You know? Like, I mean, those are just things that you can get anywhere, so that's not a big deal, and the figurines will wash off.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for it. I hope it is going to be, you know, a high replay value game.
Yeah, I don't know if it was actually released yet or not. Somebody said something about the 16th, but that don't sound right.
I mean, if it's just being shown in Spieltag right now, it's probably going to be a while.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Will, what you been up to besides being sick?
Well, there goes my answer.
Okay.
not a whole lot really. I've been just being sick. Got my license all sorted. I'm car shopping right now. I'm pretty excited. I got some sweet leads on cars. Hopefully I'll have some good news on that front next week.
That's sweet. That's sweet. I saw a plow truck for sale today.
Yeah, I saw a box truck for sale. I wanted it so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, so now we're just, you know, like, gonna, you know, got the car thing rolling, gonna do the job hunt thing, and, you know, hopefully we get back on our feet here for too much longer, and, you know, away we go.
Sweet. All right.
My girlfriend's not sick anymore though, which
that's
is great.
Good. So she's taking care of you.
She is taking care of me.
Good, good, yeah. Good. If they reciprocate that, then it's
great. Yeah. I'm a big baby when I'm sick too. So, all right, I'm done now.
Okay, Ryan, what you been up to, bro?
Well, game day this weekend was fun. Went to a couple of those.
How did you do?
The first one I went 2-2 with Mono Black Devotion. Which is, you know, caught a lot of people.
Call. Yeah, that's an interesting call.
Yes. 4 Gary, 4 Squelching Leeches, 4 Heralds, 4 Master of Feast and a Necrofiend, 4 Thoughtseize, 4 Downfall, 2 Whip, 4 Bile, 3 Sign and Bloods, and 2 Silence. It was pretty damn good. It was a lot of fun to play, man. 2-2 was about what I expected. I don't know, the sideboard is pretty limited, you know, being all black, but I felt I was able to cobble something together. It's something I'm going to continue to play next week just because it's fun. And Master of the Feast, he's the truth, man. He's the truth. So
is he the truth?
He's a 3-mana 5/5 flyer, right? I mean,
he blocks Butcher the Horde. He blocks Storm Breath Dragon. He eats Sarkhan.
Does he block? Does he actually block stuff?
Oh yeah.
Just turn sideways all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, ideally, but you know, you get into those games. I found myself not running them out very often if I could on turn three. I'd rather play a Herald into like, ideally I'd like to go Herald into like Squelching Leeches or something into Gray Merchant. Master was more like, I would wait. I had good success. I'd hit for like 10 damage a game with them in most cases just by waiting a bit, letting them run out of cards. That way when they're down to like 3-4 cards in hand, I just felt a lot more comfortable playing them out. So, and then if they do draw, I know they get to draw a card on your upkeep, but the thing is, I still go back to the comparison to Goblin Guide. Like the advantage it gives your opponent isn't enough. If they do draw,
it's a little different than Goblin Guide though.
Yeah, but they do have to, if they draw something, it has to answer the master. If it doesn't answer the master, you're just continuing to hit them for 5 and like, yep, so what they play right out another, yeah, dude. Like he overperformed, man. I was really impressed with the card. I was kind of like, man, this, I'm going to get laughed at. And that, speaking of like, we talked about those people with play etiquette, man, I actually had people like, a guy be like, what the fuck, that card is so fucking stupid, like, or,
yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of place for that in Magic.
Yeah, I played a Gray Merchant, and he was like, what, who still plays Gray Merchant? I was like, the guy that just won Illinois States, who's also played on the Pro Tour several times, whose list I copied. I was like, that's who's still playing Gray Merchant, and then I killed him with a Gray Merchant, and I was like, Gary's still pretty good, huh? So, I mean, yeah, I had fun with it. I went more serious the second game die. I still didn't top 8 either one of these, but took, just Abzan midrange. Lost to make the top 8 to the aggro version, Seagrass version with the Anafenses and stuff. I had the opening that was carried Courser, you know, 4 drop. I don't know. I can't remember. It was like Sorin or Seed Drive. So it was good, but they went, you know, turn 2, Rakshasa, turn 3, Anafenza. Turn 4 Seed Rhino. It was just much more, they just ran over my carried it in Courser, and yeah, so I like that version. That version of the list a lot.
Yeah, I do pretty too. I think that, you know, it's really good at being proactive.
Yeah, I beat the Kibler Teamer deck. That was a tough matchup. Had a crazy game against Abs, and I actually got a warning, like, we went to time after game 2. And he, like, the judge guy is like, yeah, people shouldn't be going to time in this format. And it was the Abzan Mirror. And I was like, did you see the first game? My opponent, by the time I started attacking, I'm at 16 life. My opponent at this point is at 45 life. By the time I was finally able to ultimate an Elspeth and...
Wait. He said that you shouldn't go to time in this format? That's what the mirror match is every time in this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem like the sweetest dude
he
ever.
He said we should have been able to get to 3 games.
Look, well, I've seen Kithkin play against fairies and go to time after 1 game.
That's true.
So, let yeah. me hear it.
I mean, I was like, look, this match, game 1, I had, when I swung for lethal, I had an Ajani with 8 counters, a Sorin with 6 counters. I just ultimated an Elspeth. I had 2 or 3 Seed Rhinos on the field with multiple counters on them, a ton of tokens. Like, this was a ridiculous game, and his board was just as fucking nuts. It was just one of those crazy ass games. But the funny part was
next, when all you have is permanence.
Yeah, round 3, I go to time again with somebody. We go 2 games, he wins game 1, I win game 2, and then they call time.
Yeah, I mean, I just make sure you're making all your decisions very quickly in the Abzan mirrors. You know, basically anytime you're with a deck, it's, you know, if you're playing a long grindy deck, you gotta be very, you know, very precise.
Yeah, that round, my opponent was kind of slow playing. Like, we were out of cards, and he had a Courser out, and so the top cards revealed, and he would draw it and then stare at it for like a minute. It's like, I know what it is. You know what it is. There's nothing going on here. Pass the damn turn. So, if I were at a higher level tournament, I might have actually probably would have called the judge on that opponent just to.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Kind of move things
along.
Hey,
can you just watch this guy, please?
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I can't say I haven't done that.
As you should.
I've had judges come over like, I think they're slow playing me. Can you sit there and watch?
Yeah, and sure. I mean, they're not gonna slow play with the judge at the table. That's for sure.
Yeah. Megan had some good success in game day running. She top 8ed both events. She didn't take any down though with Jeskai, or like Jeskai wins deck.
Yeah, Jeskai's pretty sweet.
Kind of learned something important from her after she played an opponent who has a reputation of being an aggro player, and her control, or she has a lot of good control stuff in her board, like 2 Disdainful Strokes, 2 Dissolve, and a couple Negates. and she tried to out aggro him, tried to stick with more like an aggro plan when his sideboard was mostly all like, you know, focused on like aggro, like he had like God's Willings and stuff in the list.
Nice.
He was trying to, you know, keep things alive and just eat down. And she was like, yeah, I should have taken the control approach knowing my opponent, you know, what his tendencies are. And I never thought of that as like a way to kind of sideboard, like,
if you have those cards in your board, you know, that's your plan. You gotta stick to it.
Yeah. If you know your opponent's tendencies are like that, like your best bet in that situation, and maybe Will can back me up on this, is to just get bigger on them.
Get bigger is really good, or, you know, and I mean, without getting too specific, getting bigger is usually good. Going later. Yeah. You know,
well, she did come home and add a Narset to the list. I think that's...
I'm not too sure about Narset. It's just, it's too main phase for me. You know, I think the deck is really sweet, when you don't have to do anything on your turn after turn three. But,
yeah,
I mean, it's definitely good in some matchups for sure. Like, I think it actually probably, if you resolve it in the mirror, it probably blows it wide open, so.
True. Yeah, but we had fun, so I mean, just...
That's good. Yeah, I wish I would have gotten to...
Trying to put together some, you know, more diverse standard decks here at the house to test and play against. So I'm really not looking forward to a bunch of Abzan mirrors. So I'm just going to play different stuff. Like, I like this mono black list because I don't know. I like Master of the Feast. I'm done trying to be this hardcore. I'm just going to play what I have fun with. If I go to big tournaments, you know, whatever, I might play something different, but. I like Master Feast. I want to beat down Master Feast. I'm going to play him.
Yeah, you know what, Ryan? I think that's probably the best way to go. One thing where if you know you're going to a tournament in a month to start honing in on that deck that you plan on running at the tournament and taking at the FNM. But if you know you're going to be just playing FNMs for the next 3 months and have no big tournaments planned, then why the hell do you care too much about, you know, just go have fun.
I was looking at Hornet Queen the other day and I'm like, man, why aren't I playing Hornet Queen at FNM? That is a fun fucking...
I mean, it's also a very power card, right?
It
now.
Is very...
Yeah, it's but, really fucking so, good. So
that's, that one, this. You know, that one's got Timmy and Spike Happy.
Yeah, and I love Nykthos. So I want to play a deck with Nykthos and Hornet Queen and fucking Genesis Hydra. I don't know, man. I'm a kid.
Hey, man, you know what? I've played a lot of Hornet Queens in Limited, and in Limited, apparently, it's not a fun card.
It is the most oppressive card I've ever sat across in a sealed deck table. Yeah,
it's really bad. It should have stayed in the Commander sets as far as Limited goes, but...
Oh, I love it. When you crack it... When you crack it,
I'll switch to it in Pack 3. I don't care if I have any green cards. I'm putting that in my deck.
Yeah, you don't pass those. Because you're going to lose to it eventually. No.
And after that guy, though, was a dick about me playing Mono Black, I kind of gave me some resolve to just keep playing Mono Black. Like, it's not the same version from last standard. It's very similar, but it's not the same. And I don't know, it's just people aren't expecting it, and that guy just kind of, you know, gave me resolve, like, you know, fuck you. I don't have to come here and play something. You're not what I'm sorry if I ruined your Pro Tour testing, buddy. Like,
well, the thing is, like, if it's a competent deck, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be tier 1. It can be 1.5, and if it's a competent deck,
it could be tier 2 and be
and fine. You're good at running it, and they're not prepared for it, you're going to win a lot more games than you're going to lose just because they're ill-prepared to play against it. So, I mean, like, I think that's fine. I used to play a lot of 1.5 and 2.0 decks and do great with them because nobody's ready for them.
You get to do cool stuff. Like, I had an 11-11 flying Squelching Leech in one game. That no one expects. That's just funny. That's just funny to me. Like, it was hilarious.
Nobody expects that. An 11-11 flying Squelching Leech.
That's as bad as, back in the day, you could stack lifelink.
Oh no.
And I can remember, I want to say it was this dude Mike that used to go to tournaments with us. I watched him kill somebody with a 10-11 Birds of Paradise with double lifelink.
Yeah, that's and pretty cool.
The worst card to abuse the double lifelink was the 5-mana angel with, Exalted from the Shards of Alara block. That was just the worst. Cause like, you'd have 3 in play and it would give something triple lifelink when it attacked. Like,
oh. That and putting Loxodon Warhammer on anything that already had.
God.
It was just like,
you're like, what? You attack me for 7 and gain 28? Are you fucking kidding me? What?
Yeah, that's retarded. Speaking of dying to Birds of Paradise, on Friday, Megan lost to a Birds of Paradise on turn two, I think, with that Jeskai Ascendancy combo in Modern. Oh. Yeah, someone went Birds on her. But yeah, about the Crimson Wisps, about this Mono Blacklist, though, what I found, if everyone at the shop is running Abzan, which everyone was, the deck's actually pretty good against that. The Lilianas, I thought, were really good.
It makes a lot of sense against the Illinois metagame, which was very green.
Yeah, they don't like the Dictate of Erebos was pretty good, I found, against the Abzan.
Oh, yeah, for sure. A lot of their plan for staying alive is gaining life. Dictate is the
whenever one of your dudes dies, they gotta sack a guy. And yeah, that goes into a lot of their plan is pick your new spot land to Siege Rhino and attack. And well, if you're just...
I chump. Sack Siege Rhino.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. So that's another reason to play the list, I feel, going forward. Abzan, this is a good list against Abzan. So you got all the Despises and the Thought Seizes very good against that list. So...
You know what? I want to run Jeskai combo in Modern, but I want to kill people with,
Don't do it, man.
Poison. I want to do it with poison.
Unblockable, bang! You probably could. There probably is an infect combo with it. It's just boring. Like, I had to look across the room and like, just sitting there for like 10 minutes while this dude's doing stuff. And that's like...
Man, you think, I don't know. I don't think anything was as awful as Elves. Pro Tour Elves Berlin was a nightmare.
I don't know. I sat through a 22 minute, eggs turn once. Miss at the end of it.
See, that's awesome. That's hilarious.
Laughed like hell, but it was just sitting there for 22 minutes watching this dude go through his deck and like timed it. And it was like, okay, he's starting. I'm going to time this.
22 minutes is a long time. I would consider that guy to be in slow play danger. Like, if you're playing.
He only had like 9 cards left in his deck. He just failed. All of his shit was on the bottom.
I played Sekhton Rise. I know that feeling.
Sifka was about the only person I could stand to watch play eggs. He was so fast with it.
I mean, eggs still to me isn't nearly as bad as I tap and untap my Heritage Druid and Nettle Sentinels forever. Like, I watched a 2.5 hour Elves mirror match that went to it was like 3 games. Yeah, it wasn't even the full 5, and it either ended with one guy making a mirror entity and making all of his elves like a 300s, or the other guy making one devour dragon that attacked for 787.
Yeah. Is that worse though than watching like a countertop mirror or something though? Like,
to me, I find greater joy in the later, grindier control matchups, but I think that's just because there's a higher level of skill content in the play there, whereas in the combo decks, all of the real skill, I mean, is in Mastery of the Goldfish, and the actual deck construction is the real beauty of combo decks.
Yeah, I'll say that I'm probably the wrong person to ask this question to, because my favorite match ever to watch, it was old school lands versus, old school countertop.
Oh, Lance countertop was sick. It was a super, you had to work so hard to win that.
That's it. You had to work to win it. But boy, if you don't really follow what's going on and you just like click into SCG to, watch some magic and that pops up, it could be the most boring fucking thing on the planet to watch. But if you know what's going on, you can be so into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm the wrong person to ask that question to, because I like watching control mirrors.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that. Did you win it? I didn't hear you say. Did you win any of your game days, or Megan?
No, she top eighted both. I didn't top eight either, and neither one of us took it down. I think she like lost in the semis. So.
Oh well, it is what it is. I didn't get to go to any.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I worked. I was like, I'm gonna go make money because I need money. I got Eternal Weekend this week, so
it's awesome. I'm very excited for you.
Yeah, it was kind of like I was on the fence on whether I was going for sure or not, and then with the wife going in for surgery, she's going to be going in the 31st of October.
Oh yeah.
She basically gave me the go have some fun before you lose your life for the next 3 months, and I was like, well, I can't argue with that.
I'm jealous. This sounds like the kind of fun event, like, I would love to just go and watch people play, man. You're gonna have fun just watching.
Brian, I'm so glad to hear you say that you're getting some love for Eternal formats. I'm glad to hear you coming around to them.
Yeah, dude, Angelo's broadened my horizon.
Are you watching the weekly, the Vintage Masters League?
I saw some of it.
Super League? I've had a lot.
Bueller,
of fun
man, Bueller.
I love Randy Bueller. Randy Bueller is one of the greatest men on the earth, on the face of the earth. Randy Bueller and LSV should be every commentating booth ever.
Yeah, I feel when Bueller's doing Magic commentary that he really holds himself back because the guy wants to swear a lot.
Yeah. he's a Yinzer. He's from Pittsburgh. Yep.
He just wants to say, I feel like he just wants to say fuck like a ton.
Yeah. And he likes to say fuck.
He just can't do it.
Yeah, he's from the Berg. Trust me, it's in him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you say hello around here is, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. You know, it's like today I walk into work and it's like, da, 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 da. When was the last time someone told you to eat a dick? Well, good morning to you too. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is.
It is, yeah.
You know what? I want you guys' opinion on something. I meant to bring it up during GPLA and it completely slipped my mind during the time. Did you guys watch any of that coverage?
I did not. I was sick.
Okay, Ryan, you watched it. What did you think of their, what did they call them? The fast matches, the sped up matches that they played. Like in between rounds, they would show another game, but they would show it kind of at a
accelerated pace.
Did
they edit it like and chop out the blank spots?
No, they sped the whole thing up to probably like if you had, if you was listening
like
to
1.5 speed,
1.5 to 2 speed. Yeah. So
no, didn't, not a fan. Not a fan. And I felt like if I were a new guy, like just getting into trying to figure out this game.
Yeah, that's,
It was really, I felt they were doing a disservice to those people.
If you want to shorten it up, you have to, I think actually Evan Irwin is the guy to get. He does a really good job at editing down matches to a very reasonable length and commentating over it.
Yeah, and summarizing them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See, I really liked them. I thought they were cool. Like I was sitting there watching them. I'm like, I'm getting a whole game, not a whole match, but a whole game in, 7 minutes that normally would be, 15 to 20 minutes where all they're doing is, I still saw all the pertinent plays that were important. It was just a matter of, I don't have to deal with them sitting in the tank for 40 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, is there someone commentating on the match while they're fast playing it?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching it and commentating on the match as it's playing.
That's reasonable. Then I would probably enjoy it as an in-between round filler. It's probably better than a lot of stuff they can do.
It's like, it's better than them talking. And at the same time, it's also better than them showing their vignettes that they like to show. Like, how many times can you watch the Khans the Tarkir fucking vignette?
I tell you what I wish I would rather have seen than the fast play? Okay. Cause we know what's going on. So we can follow the matches, but for newer players, like, I just wasn't digging it. I feel like they should, I like the European coverage approach. Like, they, instead of a lot of little vignettes and like, here's a video from R&D or whatever, they do a lot of, interesting interviews and stuff with players that are there and sit down with guys at tables and get like, they talk to these pros at the ground level. You see a lot of that at the Euro GPs on their coverage. And I don't know why the American ones, I don't know why they don't kind of do that.
Because we're Americans. When we get done with our game, we leave the hall. Have you ever gone outside of the hall during a big tournament?
Lots of smokers.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's 2,000 people in the tournament, there's 800 of them sitting outside in between rounds. And then there's another 300 or 400 of them trying to get food because this is America and you can't go 2 hours without eat.
Well, I mean, nutrition during a Magic event is actually pretty important.
It is. But
in a lot of ways.
When you're coming back with Wendy's every two hours, it's not good for
nutrition.
And they should do, they were doing it for a while. It was something that SCG does. And now they kind of scale back. They don't do it. They were doing these like, they'd show like classic matches from the past.
Oh, that's an old school Magic thing, on the lunch breaks and Pro Tour Sundays, they show old Pro Tour footage and stuff.
Yeah. And
I think it's really good.
They were on the TVs for a while. And now the last few GPs I've seen coverage of, it's like they've thrown that to the wayside. And I loved that.
Yeah. They're definitely trying to really modernize the coverage. I think the coverage has come a long way in the last couple of years. So if they can figure out a way to get, games being played, for you to watch and be, that are being commentated on in between rounds, it's a real step forward. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's whichever way they choose to do that, there's going to be issues no matter which way, you know, pros and cons. So I think it's cool though.
I think it's good that there's just more magic on there. That
More magic, less downtime.
Talk about random things like, what do you think the best 10 cards in this format is? You know, like.
Yeah, that's really stupid.
I mean.
Rich Hagon can, I mean, I don't need to listen to him all day long.
We all can pretty much guess what the top 8 of the 10 cards are at any given time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really need to hear that from you guys every week, and I don't need to hear this or that. I would rather see actual play rather than, you know, I hate, you know, for lack of a better word, to hear monkeys talk about stuff that they don't necessarily know 100% about. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, if it's a
yeah, if you want to listen to that, listen stuff, to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Us. That's what we're here to do. When there's actual games to be played, though,
watch them.
Or better yet, listen to us while game's going on.
Oh man, that's a Pittsburgh thing right there.
Oh yeah, listen to the radio while watching the game. That is so Pittsburgh. Aside from that, see, I got Eternal Weekend coming up. I got to grind some, MTGO this week. I jumped into Swiss just cause I felt like playing.
Swiss draft?
Yeah. And I didn't want the feel bads of, you know, okay, I feel like playing Magic. I want to kill 3 hours. And once in a while, you just don't have the feel bad of losing at first round and going, okay, what am I going to do for the next two?
That one's tough. I usually just enter in a second draft and that's usually a mistake.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that a lot of times that ends up being a mistake. So I was like, I'm just going to jump into Swiss. So, and I did a Theros block just because it's.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've done Theros and, you know, I'm trying to rebuild a collection that I sold. So I was like, I'm to do this. So I jump in this and I lose round 1-2. I hate to say it, but I had bad mana screw.
It happens. It happens.
I felt like my deck was better than my opponent's and I was really like, I walked away and I looked at my wife and I was like, I just lost to a deck that I don't even think is that good. Like, I feel like I would have definitely won that. But then I win the next 2 rounds and I look and the dude who beats me in round 1 won the thing.
Okay.
And every player that he beat finished with a 2-1 record, and I'm like, that dude played his ass off. So, I mean, I forget dude's name, but fucking, you know, big ups to you.
Wow.
You played your ass off. You did not have it easy at all.
Yeah, that's cool.
I can count on a hand how many times I've seen that happen in Swiss events that I played in, where, you know, literally everyone you beat finishes 2-1. Like,
yeah, I love Swiss events. I think, I mean, like you said, sometimes you just want to get the full value of the play, and you know, like the EV isn't really that much less than the 4-3-2-2. So
I think it's more than the 4-3-2.
No, and in the long term, on a long enough term basis, you know, basically it's actually not that much far behind. Like you have to be a really good 8-4 player to get better results than you would with Swiss draft. Like really, like you have to be getting there like one time in 3 at the very minimum, you know, so.
Yeah, roundabout.
Yeah.
I'll go with that, but like, I mean, I don't know, 4-3-2-2s, I don't see a lot of value.
I don't think you should play those. You should either be playing 8-4s when you think you're the man or just Swiss when you wanna, you know, when you don't think you're the man or you wanna learn it.
Right. Actually, I've found, and this is kind of strange, like I have jumped in a couple 4-3-2-2s recently. It just, you know, that's kind of like a stepping stone that I do. I'll usually do about 5 of them before I jump to my 8-4s.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I think the metagame is very different in the 4-3-2-2s. I think that people think make really bad picks.
I think it's easier. I think, as bad as it sounds, I think limited resources and all of their preaching of play Swiss or play 8-4s has convinced all of the better players to stay away from the 4-3-2-2s.
True.
And I jump into 4-3-2-2s and like Swiss is so much harder than them.
Yeah. But that's okay though. You know, I mean, like, yeah, you want to go infinite and you want to not have to play to pay the game, but you also want to have good quality matches.
Right. But you know, at the same time, I feel like I could jump in one of those and just mize it whenever I want.
Absolutely.
Like, I know I'm walking away with 3 packs, guaranteed.
At least, yeah, at least.
You know,
but you know, I
good people are in them anymore.
I feel that way about Swiss drafts though. I feel like, well, I'm going to walk away with at least, with like 2.3 packs guaranteed.
Yeah, know? That's kind of the way I feel about Swiss. I don't sit down. I cannot remember the last time I walked away from a Swiss event
without
winning something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe 1-2 here and there, but I've never 0-3'd an event that I played all 3 rounds in.
No, neither have I. Not that I can remember. Like maybe when I first started and was like still learning interface.
They didn't have Swiss events when I was doing that.
Yeah, so it was just like, You know, but aside from that, like, I cannot remember going 0-3 in a Swiss ever. I always walk away with something. And, you know, once in a while, you do just get that deck that just doesn't come together. You try to go deep. You know, like, when it's draft 25 or 30 and you're just trying to go deep into some crazy strategy and it just doesn't come together and you're like, ah, fuck.
I mean, I got every single thing that's except the most important thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Thank God I'm in a Swiss. I can probably pull off one game.
Yeah, I can probably mill my opponent in one game. You know, I can get there somehow.
Yeah, so I played a couple drafts this week. You know, watched the Pro Tour because not the Pro Tour, but the GP. I really enjoyed the coverage this week on the GP. Like, it was laggy at times, and it was a little out of focus, it seemed like, the whole time. But God damn it, LSV or Randy Buehler was in the booth every round.
That's awesome. I mean, that's heaven.
I mean, I was just like, I gotta watch this. Like,
I wish I would have
been in there. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Buehler and LSV. I was happy. I mean, that was a
pig in shit moment.
And that is the perfect segue to my next part. So this lady tried to sell me some pigs Monday. I was working at this house.
Good looking swine?
Yeah, baby swines. She was like, I'll give you a great price on them. And I'm like, well, what are you asking? She goes, $40 a pig. And I'm like,
yeah, right, dude.
She goes, or I'll give you 2 for $50. And I'm like, my mind's already going. If I buy these pigs and I build a little pen in my backyard, fatten them up for about a year, I got some good fucking cooking, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd buy two, have one as a suckling pig right then, and then the other one as pork, you know, as a pork roast the next year.
And, dude,
I would buy them and save them and make sure they were never killed for human consumption.
Person. What the fuck is wrong with you?
But then she hits me with the whole, but I have one condition, and I'm like, what's that? She goes, you can't take these to eat. And I'm like, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be honest with you.
Pigs aren't pets.
If I take these, she was sitting there saying, oh yeah, you can house train them. I know people who sleep with them. I'm like, oh, that ain't happening.
Pigs aren't pets.
I'm going to be real honest with you. If you sell these pigs to me within the next 2 years, I'm going to have both of them as dinner.
Yeah.
I was like, but I'll take two. I'll take two of them right now off of your hands. I don't care.
Super fitting. Yeah. I mean, that's
do they allow you to have like pigs in your backyard there?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. We don't live in city limits. I mean, well, I guess Angela.
Yeah, I live in the city, but it's not downtown Pittsburgh, but it's urban farming, man. You're allowed to have most places will allow you to have up to so many farm animals on your property as long as you have a reasonable area for them to do it. Like, my backyard's big enough.
You could absolutely have room for a pig pen.
Could have a pig pen and still have a backyard.
Yeah, you'd be That's fine. The pig pen and a barbecue pit.
Pig pen, barbecue pit, maybe even a chicken coop or a couple chickens if I really want it.
I'm into this whole chicken things. I think chickens are a reasonable thing to have. I like eggs.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about it just for the eggs. Just to go out and get an egg every day and just have a fresh egg.
My buddy in Mayor here in Champaign, Don Gerard, just passed, allowed it so we can have chicken coops in backyards here in Champaign.
Sweet. I would get a chicken coop, Ryan. If you feel that you could maintain it, I mean, like,
I'm all for it. Antibiotic, hormone free.
Yeah, exactly. It's good eating. I mean, that's good for you. But my only thing with chicken coops is, and you know, this is a me. I'm too busy to know I won't be able to go out and clean that fucker every 2 days like you have to.
Not even just that. Chickens are real dumb. It's real easy for chickens to die. Like, as someone whose family has had chickens, they drown and they get eaten by raccoons a lot. So be prepared.
Yeah, there's a lot of raccoons around here too, so.
Yeah.
But there's
there's a lot of raccoons everywhere.
Yeah, there is.
Well, where you guys are at, raccoons are like epidemic proportions.
There's a lot of raccoons around here. There really is a lot of raccoons around here. But, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, raccoons and coyotes are in the same category. We're allowed to kill them on site because they are such a nuisance. And raccoons carry too many diseases in this state.
I think raccoons are so cute.
I've had like, so many pet raccoons.
My spirit animal is a raccoon. I really feel that.
I've actually owned like 6 pet raccoons in my life.
Well, next time you have next time you find one, please let me raise it as my own.
If I find a baby, I'll call you.
Oh, man.
Because that's how you got to start. You have to start.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that'd be fun. I think they're very intelligent. They're cool things.
Yeah, you got to feed them with a baby bottle, but you know, like they really do. They become protective of you like a dog would.
That's sweet.
Like it's really cool. But man, when they'll hang off your back. Because that's what they do in the wild, like hang off their mother's back.
Sure.
And they'll hang off your back, and let me tell you, raccoon claws fucking hurt.
Raccoon claws.
But yeah, so, you know, there's that. My shout out this week, I want to give one to Chris Lancey for sure, because my man is hooking me up with his death and taxes list. We've been fine tuning the card choices I want. He's going to
get.
I'm
so happy you're playing that, by the way.
Oh, so
favorite deck in Legacy.
He's good. He's getting the spirits in there. We decided to to take out a Bramaz and a Flicker Wisp. Because of the two double white on both of those, we'll just remove those, add in two more spirits, and then, you know, I'll have another one for the board if possible, maybe. So that's good. I want to give a shout out to Slick for giving me a place to stay. And
oh, sweet.
Martin's going to be there. Frankie's going to be there. Slick's house is going to be very full. It's me, Martin, Slick, Frankie, Ricard, and goddammit, I know there's somebody else going that I'm missing their name. I'm so sorry. Damn it. But, you know, shout outs to them and shout out to Daryl. I'm not even going to begin to start talking his last name.
Shapnot.
Is that how it's pronounced? Okay. Man rocked a Pit Imp's hoodie. It's now his good luck charm because he.
Oh yeah. He had himself a day.
He went to an IQ and top aided it, running green, black, graveyard.
Really?
Yeah. Top aided this.
Nice, bro.
Chris Van Meter was in his top eight, mind you. Congrats to him. Very good job, yeah. Bro. Way to represent.
Good dick.
Big shout out to you for that for sure. Good dick. Will, you got any shout outs?
I would like to give a shout out to Alka-Seltzer.
Sounds good. Yep. Brian, you got any shout outs?
fuck yeah. And I shout out to the spike at game day that said my deck was stupid. Fuck you. We don't need your shit in the game.
Slops. Those are slops.
And, shout out, cause I don't know if I've pulled off the greatest troll ever, or if I'm onto something. Shout out Jared Betcher for the follow on Twitter. That's what's up, dude. he must have heard I've been talking about him or something, but I got the Jared Betcher follow today, so that's fucking.
Hey man, if my Pro Tour pick follows me on Twitter, I think I gotta pick him the next time too.
I think it probably has more something to do with the fact that I teased the shit out of him here.
Yeah,
on the
I'm cast, just wondering, but maybe I should just be a dick to everybody, just see if I can get follows out of the fucking ass.
It works, it's been working, Helene.
I know, you have a lot of more follows than I do.
Oh man,
you guys both got me crushed.
Jared Betcher today cracked me up, so I don't know if it's a huge troll, like on his behalf, or if I've successfully trolled him, or what, but yeah, and I did, want to shout him out because he actually wore a Broncos hat recently. I got a picture of
him. Hey, Broncos are America's team nowadays. They're America's team.
Yeah, congrats to Peyton.
No, they did, a survey did just find them the most popular team in America. So whatever, man. I don't want a bunch of fake hypey Denver fans cause Manning and shit. That's been my team since forever.
I liked him when Jake Plummer was with him, man. I loved how he won games.
I just wanted the career touchdown guy to be some dude who plastered his cock all over the internet.
I mean, I that's a fair point.
You know, you gotta respect somebody who's like, I like my dick that much. Crocs and a cock.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys. Fucking episode 92. Holy shit. Shout out to all the new members of the posse. I think a few new people got added this week or something. So
yeah, I added one today. I know that.
Yeah, oh, so
that's awesome.
Shout out to all the new people joining. Shout out to everyone who's been patient yet giving me a bunch of shit about Cast from Exile. We're doing it. We're working on it. Just chill out, people. We got the first two up on MTG Cast now, finally. So go check it out.
There you go. Ryan, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do so?
Bro the Yan on Twitter and, of course, the Posse Facebook page.
Don't forget about the Cast from Exile.
Cast from Exile.
That's a great way to get more Ryan.
SoundCloud/Cast from Exile and MTG Cast.
Cool. Will, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, there's obviously the Pit Imps Facebook page on Facebook. You could also have a pretty good chance of finding me on MTGO under Will_Flaccid, or if I'm not on there, I might be playing World of Warcraft these days, back on that. So if you're a hordy on the Hyjal server, man, give Lost My Donkey a shout.
I don't understand half of what you just said, but yeah.
Lost My Donkey is my name.
No, I know that much. It was the high on the Hyjal server.
The Hyjal is the name of the server I play on, and I'm a Horde member. I'm part of the, you know, non-human alliance.
What game is this?
World of Warcraft.
Oh, man, I never played that before.
It's very good, and now is a great time to join the game.
Is it like, what am I looking at spending?
You spend $60 to buy in and $10 to $12 monthly, but it's it's the most complete gaming experience you can have.
It's a lot less than I spend on Magic. So.
Yeah, I mean, it can really eat your life. You know, it really can. And like, so my roommate, he and I are playing Arena together, 2v2 Arena, which is just, you know, really fun. So it's nice. Like, it's good. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I never got into World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it's probably good that you didn't, because you could have gone really deep into it.
Yeah, that's what I always told people. Like, I don't play World of Warcraft because I'll lose my life, and I know.
Yeah, you can. Like, you really, really can.
So it's like Skyrim, but even more like Craft.
It makes Skyrim look like very, I mean, I don't know. It makes the game, it makes it feel amateurish. Right?
That's how I kind of felt playing Skyrim after I stopped playing Skyrim. It's like, man, I should have just played World of Warcraft. That's probably more in depth.
It's pretty, well, I mean, I don't know. There are pros and cons to both. Skyrim has better plot development, but I mean, I don't know. It depends on how
graphics.
You use the lore. No, that's not true. No, really? if you're looking at modern World of Warcraft at like optimum settings, the game is just fucking beautiful. It's a different style of art. It's a little bit more toony, and a lot of it, you know, a lot of it's about just being very much a fantasy realm, you know, and everything is different colors and, you know, everything else.
Okay, I think that's kind of, it's style of art. Yeah, I like the realistic style that Skyrim brought, sure. Where it was almost like walking through a legit world that's more like cartoony, like you said. Yeah, there was a game that Kurt Schilling put out a few years ago. I can't even remember the name of it, but
Kurt Schilling, the pitcher?
Yeah, he had a gaming company, and it almost broke him because he did not do well. Right. It was called like something of Azkaban or some shit like that. But it was an RPG.
Warriors of Azkaban or something like that. Yeah. I know this game.
It was not a bad game, but it had that cartoony look of like a World of Warcraft. And that was, I was more like, it came out about the same time as Skyrim, and I was like, see, I'm more the Skyrim style.
Yeah, and you know, Skyrim, I just wish the controls were better on it, because it is a beautiful game, and the plot lines are very great.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think it's fun to play.
They could tighten some things up.
Yeah. Well, I just want more versatility. I don't want to just have left hand, right hand, like, oh, I gotta go to my menu to change spells, like, man.
I suppose. But yeah, so. Let's see, where are we at? We're still at contact info. It's my turn.
Oh, yeah, your turn.
If you want to get a hold of me, you get a hold of me at Gongsuo on Twitter, and on MTGO. That's GANKSUOU.
Yes! Two in a row! Yes!
I spelled it a lot when he wasn't here. I'm just gonna let you know that.
Intentionally, because he wasn't here.
No, it's just because it's not easy to spell.
It's not easy to spell, but, you know, it really proves the point how great you are at this when you spell your name.
Also, you could, get a hold me at pitimppodcast@gmail.com if you have something a little more long form. If I have contacted you about doing an imp's prison, please get a hold of me. I kind of lost some of the names of people that I've already talked to about this, and others I will be getting a hold of if I haven't.
Are you going to do a second season of Imp's Prison?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's going to start right after Thanksgiving. I know a few of the guests for sure. I got 7 guests confirmed, and I figure that's the first half of it, and then I'll start working on the second half after I get these ones recorded. I plan on recording these between like now and Thanksgiving, and then the second half I'm going to record around Christmas time.
Cool.
So that'll get all of that, you know, in completion. So there's that. Next week we're going to have SCG Minneapolis. I butchered the word Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, yeah, no, it was good.
GP Stockholm, which will be standard, and Eternal Weekend from Philly. So that should be interesting. There should be I should come back with some stories. Hopefully they're not about me being so drunk that I can't drive home. Hopefully.
Hopefully they're about you being so drunk you almost can't drive home.
As long as I can drive home, I'm good. Yeah. That's just what it comes down to.
Don't drink and drive.
Don't drink a whole bottle of anything this time.
That's the plan, to do that. But, I don't know. Things happen.
I heard. Things happen.
But hey, until next week, guys.
Hey, get out there, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Yes, I have a way to say goodbye.
Have a good one. Go fuck yourself.